Does it have to be pen?
No. I can't.
Think about it if we get up here. It's on. Are we ready? Okay, I call this Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee meeting to order. The date is September 13th, 2012, and the time is 6:03. Can you please take roll?
Mr. Armando Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Patsy Mendoza.
And she did call. She's going to be out of town, so she won't be able to attend.
Mrs.
Rachel
Quintana.
Here.
All members present, with the exception of Ms. Mendoza.
Okay, and that will take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 1A, roundtable discussion with architect and CMR, presenter Ms. Matthews, Mr. Daniel, and Mr. Venegas.
Okay. I'm going to head down there for that. Yeah, just for this one item. Okay. Yeah.
Which one is it?
This one.
Agenda item 1A, roundtable discussion with architect and CMR, presenter Ms. Matthews, Mr. Daniel, Mr. Venegas.
So this time we just want to invite anyone from those three parties.
Good evening. The way we've done this in the past, of course, the architects will go first, then the construction management team. And if any board members have any questions, any committee members, you could feel to jump in. And if not, just write them down. The administration will go then. And then if there's any questions, we'll ask the questions and then answer. And pretty much it's just a brief update where we're at in the project. What's going on, what issues are we looking at that we might need to address, and so forth. So.
Jennifer first.
You want to go first, Jennifer?
No, I could go last.
I could. You prefer last or first? Okay, then.
Start with the architect, then the contractor.
Okay.
Me
first?
Yes.
Carl Daniel, part of the architectural team, and we are currently in the design development phase, as all of you know, and we will be at the 25th of this month at 70% complete in the drawings for design development. We have issued those drawings at the 30% stage to VMAP Construction. They are putting together costs for us. They actually issued some numbers to us today, but we have not had time to review them, and so we need to have a powwow with them and look at the numbers and look at some of the assumptions that they've made. Their square footages don't exactly agree with ours right now, but we expect that at the moment. We will put our heads together with them and see where we are square footage-wise, and then we do know we're over the budget. We're not exactly sure what our target budget is now, but our intention is to identify cost savings that we need to incorporate into the drawings, number one, and then any alternates that we might want to have so that when we get to the guaranteed maximum price, we can decide whether we would like to take the base bid and whatever alternates we would like to include, or to leave those alternates to a future date. So that's a brief summary of where we are today.
Okay. And then I guess who's going to?
You can go first. Want me to go first? You have more opinions than I do. Well, where to start? You know, I've, as you all know, I've been working for this district almost 10 years now. And, there's been a lot of changes through those 10 years. And I think we've had some tough projects, and then we've had some very successful projects. And I think we all know what, you know, those growing pains and stuff. I know that we're a growing district. The only thing that worries me is I feel that in this particular project, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves with our wish list. We keep talking about budget, but really, I don't think anyone has a grasp on what that budget is for brick and mortar and what's going to be for everything else. And, you know, lead costs money. If you do lead, the mechanical system related to that costs money. And I think we all need to, there's no secrets here based on the square footage, just by simple math, that the project is going to be expensive just by pure square footage and by the fact that, you know, we have the fields and everything else in there. And I think we got to get this nailed down and move in the right direction. So I'm not saying that we were going in the wrong direction. I just feel that there's just that little gap that wasn't there before. You know, I talked to Jennifer a few days ago, and I just told her that I feel that maybe we weren't being utilized the right way like we used to be in the past. We used to be asked way more questions, you know, way more analysis were done. We used to help with the utilities and getting that squared away. Hopefully today we can get some of those items hashed out.
Okay. And did you want to touch any?
I just, from historical perspective, I wanted to give you some ideas of what is a difference. And a good example would be in 2009, we did Chester Jordan School, and we did your school. Almost the same square footage. One was lead green, and one was done to your standard specifications. So yours came in at $10 million, theirs came in at $12.8 million. So when you say, what's the dollar differential? It's $2.8 million on 72,000 square feet. We're talking probably close to 150,000 square feet. So just on the lead impact, It drives your costs up. Now, there's also has to be taken into consideration that over the length of the school district's lifetime, that $2.5 million has a payback, and that means that your efficiencies and your electric bill and stuff should get you back that $2.5 million, and then eventually start saving you money. So That's the logic between the two different thought processes and approaches that are happening today. And the big differences in a lead school versus an El Paso ISD school and the other types of schools is that the mechanical is usually somewhere around $1 million more expensive because you have a lot more documentation, you have a lot more what they call commissioning requirements. And
just the system itself is going to be more elaborate. I mean, you got to remember when we started working for you all, everything was swamp coolers, and we went to package units. Then you tried the geothermal at the high school, and I think we all know where that's been. And one thing that Jennifer had mentioned in a meeting is is we're trying to get you guys a nice elaborate unit for your lead. And Jennifer brought up a question, well, why don't we do geothermal? Because we got to learn that system. We might as well have two of them so we know what we're doing. Because we're at the point that we may pick a system, and I know that's on the agenda today, that you are prepared to maintenance. And that's something that I feel that, you know, in the past with CanUtil, we did a real good job of understanding your maintenance needs, what you guys were able to do with what you had, and succeed with that. You know, we could build you stuff that you guys could utilize. I don't want to build you something that you're not going to know what buttons to press. Mm-hmm. So,
but anyway, in our, and I'm not sharing numbers with you tonight because we got the 30% working drawings. 30% working drawings, we're still speculating a lot, and we didn't even check our math. But we're still up at that $23 million range. And we went out and we got numbers, and we have it all broken down, and we're going to get together with the architect and Jennifer, Dr. Murphy, and say, okay, look at this number, look at this number, look at this number. This is it's unbalanced. For instance, the last school I did for you, the whole site work was like $350,000. But remember, I'm on a farm field. I'm perfectly flat, you know. And then if you compare what's going to happen on this particular school, which is in a bowl, it's all rock, I think I'm at, what are we at? I'm at $3
million? Just for your earthquake, just over about $1.3 million.
So all of these things, you know, we have to, you know, go back and tell the architect, well, what if we raise the whole school foundation elevation a couple of feet? Because right now we still have to, our best guess with the drawings that we have is that we would have to export 50,000 cubic yards, okay, based on the drawings that we have right now. So these are all things that we can dive into and help, you know, bring the project back in line and go forward. But it's a difficult site, and we knew that. I don't know if you remember 3 years ago. I don't know who was on the board then. I think you were on the board when you said, "Do you want to pick the site? How much you think it's going to cost, Oscar?" And I said, "It's going to cost $1 million." Dr. Padilla said, "Are you sure, Oscar?"
So we added $1 million, I think, to you at that time. Yeah. So,
just as you might have remembered that.
Number. Yeah, and that was one of the concerns because, of course, the price of the land is a lot more costly because where it's at, and then the dirt work was one of the considerations. But one of the questions I have at this point is, We've talked about consistency across, and I guess one of the things is looking at our district-wide, whether it's energy management, but looking at the consistency and the type of products that we use, so that way there's training. I think that's something that we need to look at, but I guess we had the other agenda item.
Yeah, we'll be talking about the mechanics.
Do you have those? Should I, is that part of the pre-K-8?
That is part discussion regarding design and costs related to pre-K through schools to include mechanical systems. So we're always going to start with mechanical systems and that's going to continue with administration.
What, you, do you have anything on the overall project? And then I guess I'll have Ms. Cortez read into the record the mechanical system so that way we could address that while we're at the roundtable discussion.
Yeah, sure. I think that right now one of the things that has made it more challenging both for the architect and for the CMR is usually there's a confusion between what is a project budget and what is a construction budget. And together their goal is to reach what the construction number is. And so I think, for example, one of the things that the owner needs to provide, whether that's what we hire TASB or another bond project management company
or whether that ends up being myself. I think if the Venegas has looked at the 30% construction documents, design development drawings, and they were already in the $23 million budget, that's an indicator that we need to stop and take a look at where we're at. Because of the $22 million that we have, that's our project cost. So there's a number that's smaller than that that we have to arrive and give them as our construction budget target. And so I really think that administration's recommendation would be to stop the design process and for us to take a look at our owner project budget and then be prepared to give them a construction number for them to use as a target.
Just real quick, some of the and I guess when we had the architect present, administrations as well as board members wanted to look at alternates when it came to, I guess, looking at the drawing, I don't have it in front of me, but next to the gymnasium, we actually asked that to be, to put it in the drawing, and then later on what we can do is put it as an alternate in some of the other stuff. Do you know what are some of the stuff that we added? I know there was discussion about, you know, the cement on the stadium on in the track, that type of stuff. Some of the areas where we could look at alternates, and then we still need to look at, and that's another issue we need to discuss, which is the soil testings and that stuff. But that way we don't completely halt the project, but we at least start looking at some of those areas where we could look at whether it's value engineering or stuff like that that they've done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could sit down and go ahead and start that process because it's going to need to happen. I mean, we can start sitting down and saying start how we're going to take it down because, I mean, while we, do analyze and see exactly how far down it needs to come. But yeah, I think definitely the board needs to sit down with the architects and with VMAC, take a look at the design, and say, hey, because all those, no matter where you cut, I mean, provide some direction, you know? And I know that VMAC has a lot of ideas in that regard, but we need to price out the alternates and see where we stand.
Where's the projected budget for that we told the voters?
Oh, 22, but 22 is the project cost.
It's a project cost. And then the other thing was... So we added, how much would you say was the classroom and some of the alternates that we looked at?
In fact, we did about $3 million and some other stuff that was added, about $3 million.
So we could...
The original $18 million that we had as a contract.
So we could look at, I guess, having some of those as alternates. But I guess my thing is, in the next meeting that we have, that you all... work together and then look at where we could create those alternates and then see if there's anywhere we need a value engineer, but making sure that we're not, I guess, cutting costs where in the long term it's going to hurt us.
All right, so I mean, you're talking, was it $18 million the budget that your contract was?
Our contract was $18 million, and through the process of presentation design, there are some things that were added,
right,
which we have them design in a way that they could be alternates, and that helps a lot.
So if you're looking, if they're saying like right now it's roughly at 23 and the budget 18, assuming that that's right there a difference in 5.
Yeah, but keep in mind that these are design developments and we haven't got to the point. Again, Carver just mentioned that we might have some assumptions right now just because of the drawing not being complete. So our tax, you guys hire us to have it within budget, but we need to get to the point, we need to continue designing and drawing so that we can get to the budget that you gave us. We need to go back to the 18 million, we can. Because we have a design to where we can do it. But we just need to know which is your actual construction budget.
Jennifer, I think the project can proceed pending your decision on the mechanical system. Not that would hold it up, but that's going to be a critical discussion, how you guys want to handle that. But the options, I mean, that's fine. I mean, one of the things I said in one of the meetings was y'all are spending a lot of money on athletics for maybe 50 students that are going to suit up. You know, I think we did the math. You're going to have 50 athletes for $5 million of infrastructure. So, you know, there's stuff like that we had mentioned before that, you know, if the brick and mortar and the classrooms and, you know, having the nice school is important, we can concentrate on that and then it's all designed there. I mean, you guys later on, as you grow, can have another bond issue and add all that other stuff.
I have a concern here. When you mentioned that you were being asked or you weren't being utilized correctly, does that sort of mean like if you were left out of the loop or?
No, I just, you know, I think we're playing catch up a little bit.
And what
you
do
know,
you mean?
I know Jennifer's new, like just barely got hired and stuff, and it seemed like it went from nothing happening to a lot happening. And I know that she's been stuck on a few things, and we've talked, and there's a lot of stuff that we can be doing utility wise. We can go meet with the PSB, we can meet with the gas company. We can be doing all this stuff to help alleviate her burden, and that's going to save you all money. I mean, that's what, you know, on the last project, you guys gave us a contract, and we did all that work for you, you know, and we didn't send you a bill for that. That was part of what we did. And so I think the last bond issue that I worked with that team, I think it was very successful. I think we got a lot done for the money. And Yusuf was crazy. He used to call us all the time and meet every day and call me at 5 in the morning. But, you know, we got a lot done. And I think, you know, I just want to reiterate that in this meeting, because I already told Jennifer, do not hesitate to talk to us. I know right now, she's trying to go through the process of getting a lab, and she was, telling me about all these steps she has to do to go to the board 5 times or whatever. Now, that, you know, we can give our recommendations. We know what it's going to cost. We've already done a school for you. We hire labs all the time at Fort Bliss. We could type up a letter, send it to you guys, saying this is our recommendation, like we did before. You know, pull the trigger, and then you guys catch up with the approvals later on. But there's, I think we're missing some steps that. You guys could be utilizing us a little bit more. That's not going to cost you anything.
And just, if I might, was that the question?
I wanted to know what it is that we need to do to get there.
And Jennifer, would you agree that, I mean, there's a lot for you that needs to be done?
Well, yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons, like, for example, the hiring of the second person in operations and things like that. Like, basically, when David and I talked, he's like, hey, let me just phone and call me. Why don't we talk more? And it's like, oh. Like, my God, I'm, like, I'll, you know, it's just, you know, it's a time issue, but I'm like, all right, well, you know, we'll get on the same page. But, by the way, VMAC and CDA have been meeting on a very regular basis, and, I mean, they've been moving forward. I mean,
I think we really think our job is right now, we know we're over the budget, we are, maybe we should be more concerned, but we're not as concerned, because we have done this before. We're doing right now is producing as much, we're working like beavers to produce as many drawings as we can so that GMAC can give us a more accurate number. In the beginning, we all pick numbers out of the air based on a conceptual thing. Now we're actually giving them bricks and mortar details and everything, and we need more of that for the rest of this month so that they can tell us realistically where we are. And we have designed the building so that we can take these alternates. We had them identified in the programming phase to back up, and we also have them identified on the drawings so that we can back up to that. If we need to get to 18 million, that's what we intend to do for you. We can't give you a building that's over your budget. But what we need to do to find out where we are is create as many drawings as we can. And David and Jennifer are right. One of the things that we need right now is the geotechnical reports, because our structural engineer is doing some work for us, but he cannot design the foundations until we have those geotechnical. VMAC, on the other hand, can't give us an honest number for the foundation until we have that foundation design done. So we really need the geotechnical lab to be selected. And as part of the LEED program, we do need the commissioning agent on board now to begin collaborating with us. And
know a lot of things are going to happen in the next 15 to 30 days as far as the budget is concerned. But now we're getting the drawings there where we can say, okay, we can't afford this, or we can't afford that. We can afford this. And so that's what we're doing right now. And we need some detailed meetings with DMAC. And Jennifer could be a great part of that to be the voice for you guys.
And I guess the other thing that would be kind of neat, I don't know if you want to just bring the recommendation because we were supposed to do that, or if you all can meet together, recommend who you all for the soils testing and the commissioning agent. That way it could just come to the board, because I think that...
Okay,
that
we were going to interview.
Today, and then we wanted a special board meeting, of course. So we're going to delay it a whole another month. I think it's probably critical that we probably address it as soon as possible, would you all say? Or?
Well, what we've done in the past, and this is maybe one of the things that's hurting our budgets, is we would sit down and the pool of money, let's say it's $22 million, we says, okay, let's break it down. You're going to need a lab. How much does that cost? We give you historical data. We said, how much did you pay for the last pool? This is what we're paying right now. And then we put a budget. Then we says, all right, you're going to need furniture. You know, and you guys would pull some records on that and say, this is how much we think we need for the furniture. And that was something that you guys would utilize us for that has really nothing to do with CDA. It's, I mean, what we do is crunch numbers for you. That's what you hire us for, is how much does everything cost? And those are the things that, you know, the same thing with the lab. The lab's real simple. I mean, and there's two ways to do it. You know, I talked to Jennifer about it. You can pay per unit, or you can pay a monthly rate. There's probably ways we could save money that way. I mean, monthly rates, we do it all the time at Fort Bliss, because you know they're going to be there for 6 months full time. And so if we give you a monthly rate, it's usually cheaper than paying per unit. So, but we haven't analyzed that. We haven't looked at it. I mean, the last thing I think it really needs is to interview to see how, you know, pretty someone looks or this. I think we have to crunch the numbers is really what we need to look at. We know how many tests you're going to need. We know how many months it's going to take. You know, ask us, and we'll get that information, and we'll back it up. We'll say, look, based off historical data, this is how much we always pay. We're not paying any more. We're probably should be paying less when we present it to you, and that's how we'll present it. You know, we're not going to do it on a beauty contest or anything like that. I mean, there's plenty of good labs here that they're all qualified, and those are some of the things that I think we could be helping expedite this process. Like I said, the stuff that CDA is doing is fine. I mean, yeah, you have an issue with the mechanical system because it's expensive, and you get money back in the long run. I don't know if you have the technicians that can handle it. You know, that's going to be up to you guys to discuss. You know, you can, like I said, you can chop off the athletic part of the project and save money, or put it as an alternate. Maybe you come up with money later. You know, and all that's fine. But there's a lot more that we got to be crunching with Jennifer now to see where we're at overall in a global perspective of this job.
Was that any other question? No. Does anybody else have any other?
Yeah, I think the goal
question
right now is for VMAC to look at what is the core base bid, identify what all the alternates were that Carl identified, and look at what the core base bid is going to be. And if the core base bid isn't within the $18 million range, I don't think we should continue to move forward until we've stopped. They've looked at the drawings as they are today, and they've established that, yes, okay, this is more or less, the corpus is more or less within range, it's more or less affordable, and they're like, yeah, you're all right, then we should continue to work.
Okay, then I guess what we can do is, you all could, I don't have a problem if you're okay with recommending it to the board, that you all come with the testing, you all meet, come and recommend the testing and the commissioning agent, and then, I guess next month when we have our roundtable discussion, you all come with the alternates and rank those, and then see where we're at within the budget and within the timelines of the project, and then that would be a better way for us to gauge where we're at within this. The other thing that I would like you all to see, since we do have an energy management district wide and we're going to be using those systems on the other stuff, it would be neat that we include them within this, so that way there's consistency across the district. So that would be the other, if we're okay with it.
Yes.
And we probably need a priority wish list. I mean, you know, what is?
Yeah.
What is the priority? Is lead priority? Is the athletic field priority? Is the extra classrooms priority? Is the, you know, winning an award priority? What are the priorities so we can say, look, we want everything. I mean, trust me, I want that lead school on my resume and I want that award on my resume. But if we can't afford it, you know, we need to make some tough decisions on that. And so let's prioritize that and we'll give you the numbers accordingly. So that way, if you want to stretch it a little bit and maybe say, hey, you know what, we're right there, we can maybe swing some things, you can make that educated decision. But right now, the wish list is everything. And it's going to be very obvious that we can't have everything.
Well, what we can do right now is, let's just say we break it up into the different chunks. They don't need to be, we can prioritize them at the next round table. Right now, you're just identify the pieces of the cost. And what's the base bid, and this is what the $18 million is, and this is what the other pieces are as the design stand out. Now, then we come back to you, and then you as a group can say, hey, you can talk about the pieces and, you know,
yeah,
or the options, you know,
I think
or the
classroom's the most important,
access, and then you
know.
Can say, like, hey, yeah, you know, maybe so. But at least you know, look, this is what this is what you can afford looks like, and then these are all the, these are all your.
Yeah, I think, well, for me, classrooms is most important, whatever affects the students,
right.
The majority of students. But Mr. Coronado, you have your hand up.
You know, we need to get a, we really need a price from you guys. What's it going to cost for us to get this LEED certification?
Tell
me,
Mr. Venegas to pull the chair
from. I'd rather scrap it now.
Pull the chair from.
Sorry, but that's, you know, I don't want an award. I don't want a LEED certification. Period. That's my prerogative. My interest in getting this school built and getting the energy efficiencies, I don't care that anybody else knows about it. Period. You know, and what I want is I want our team to make sure that everybody's involved. I want to have estimates like we did on some of the building of the other schools as the drawings are going on, and we're able to make decisions at the outset. And we need to get that done. And I'd like to see what kind of a price we're looking at in terms of the LEED certification cost. Because I, frankly, if it's going to cost and it's going to take away from building classrooms or other stuff, scrap it. Period.
Well,
and this other deal about some of the niceties that we may have to, you know, take a look at those in value engineering, but we need to do it at the outset and we need to do it now. And maybe the board needs to start having more meetings.
Yeah, and we're projected to have more.
But I don't know, Carl, you and Google, what is it going to cost us in terms of getting these people for the LEED certification people and the extra cost that it's going to take? What do you guys anticipate? Roughly. I'm not asking for.
What did you say? We think.
$1 a square foot.
Yeah, it's roughly $1 a square foot for LEED certification services, but this is such a big school that we think it should be in the range of $75,000 to $100,000 for the certification commissioning agent.
Uh-huh.
Now, the extra cost to that, too, that we have to consider is that we are going to, in order to achieve that LEED, design a better air conditioning system. We're going to design a better window envelope system and the walls and the roof and everything like that. So it's not just the commissioning agent. It's also the things that we're going to do for the building that make it more efficient, which are wonderful. We like that. But we can probably put together a rough number for you of what LEED is costing us in terms of systems and envelope and commissioning.
Well, I don't want the cost on systems and stuff. I want to cost them what the LEED.
Just a certification.
If we're going to do some of those things in terms of the energy efficiencies, that's not part of the cost.
Okay.
I want to know what are we spending to document the proof and the commissioning and the certification issues.
Perfect.
If we can do without that, but not do without the energy efficient field that would go to get LEED.
It's probably around $100,000. And again, we are just using our knowledge from past
right.
projects. We're probably going to pay about $100,000 for LEED commissioning.
But I can tell you, can't VMAC, I mean, because, you know, VMAC is the expert in the country here. They can tell you, hey, here's the base bid and here's the alternates. This is what this would cost you with LEED, and this is what it would cost you without LEED. Because also the contractor puts kind of a premium on that. I mean, isn't that something we can
show? We can get you. I mean, there's other numbers. I mean, obviously we all want to be energy efficient. But, you know, like I said, I'm a little bit in the dark on what you're doing with your program with, is it Johnson Controls? Or... And so maybe I know they're going to have recommendations, so I don't know, and maybe we can ask them and Bernal in this meeting, but, you know, is package units, is that something that we can still make work? You know, I know you have it in your other schools and you know how to maintain them. Can we make package units work? And right then and there, if that's a yes, we know that we're going to probably save $1 million just on the MEP system.
Do we want package units?
Well, I don't know. That's a tough decision we're going to have to make. And I guarantee you, when you budgeted it, you probably considered
well, that's a lot of
units.
Our problems right now. I guess my concern is looking at the commission agent, because some of the stuff we looked at when we were looking at architects, there were other people charging a 3%, and they were going to, you all were going to throw that in, as well as our CMR. So I think we're not paying the premium price for LEED certification. I think what we need to look at is the certification and then the long-term costs where we're going to save, because I think that's more important for me.
But that, the cost of the certification is not tied to a long-term cost.
No, the cost of the certifications.
Whether we have energy efficiencies or not is not the issue. If we're going to have energy efficiencies, it's, are we going to document them and get them certified so that we can get a LEED certification? That's an extra, because that's got nothing to do with whether we're going to save on our energy efficient items that we're going to put in.
So it's doing the, it's actually doing everything to get LEED certified but not doing the paperwork. That's what you're talking
about.
That's right. Not getting the certification.
Well, let me put it this way. If you all are going to put in a 4-5 system anyways, and you're going to go through all the trouble that it's going to be a certifiable building, like they do at Fort Bliss, you just do certifiable buildings. They pay for it, and then it's up to the, you know, the contractor and the architect to pay to see if they want that certification. Of course we can work that out, but we need to know, you know, what system, and I know this is on the agenda today, so we'll find out what system you all need and want and can maintain. I mean, you know, that geothermal is a great idea, and look, you know, until Dr. Murphy took the bull by the horns, that thing hasn't really even been used. So, I mean, you know, we got to make some tough decisions there. We got to spend money and not know how to use stuff. So, and I know, I'm sure Johnson Control coming on board is going to help that, I'm assuming. I don't know any of this information yet, but we need to talk about that.
Okay, and I guess, so the next meeting we could get all this squared away, and then we'll be way stepping ahead. And then I guess we could bring the next agenda item, unless you wanted to address anything on, because we're starting to talk more about the...
Well, I think you, so the assumption is that at our next Facilities and Finance, we would have another round table. We would bring back the cost with all of the alternates and the core price of $18 million, right? Or whatever the core base bid was.
I think we need to crunch numbers with you too, Jennifer, with as a district, and if CDA wants to be involved, I mean, great. The more help, the better, but we need to establish your construction budget.
Yeah.
You know, for all we know, it could be 19 or it could be 20.
Yeah,
usually,
yeah,
I thought
it
was 60, like 10%.
You know, I mean, we're just assuming that 18, and I mean, 18 sounds like, but we'd have to take a look if that's really what the construction
budget. What is our budget that we have left over right now? For everything.
Well, the budget was, and you're saying 22, we put it out to the public at 21 for the bond.
What do we have?
21.
Where was it, 22?
Aside from the money we spent on the land?
Yes. Yes.
So we have 21 million left for the project?
Yes, sir.
To include architect's fees, CMR, everything.
And that's where they're basing their 18, because I think between the 21 and the 18 are all the fees and everything out of the way, and then the 18 was less. Although that is the thing that we're going to have to triple check.
That's our
question. Let's back it up and let's get a construction, a brick and mortar number.
And we can't do that. That's the good part.
And back out the ground preparation, dirt work, and site prep. I don't know what that. And if we, you know. I agree with Oscar. If we're gonna truck dirt out of there, why not use it and save money in there, even if we have to raise it a little bit? I don't know if that's gonna add to the cost or not. That's where we need to.
That's where the, if we're using 30% right now. If they're at 70%, then the guesswork and the rule of thumb starts getting more fixed, and we can.
It's a little easier.
A lot easier.
And this is the 70%?
Still, we have about a week to have more information.
Yeah.
But we call it And we're going to get together with BMAC because we need to get to a point where we have some enough drawings to say, look, this is what we need to do here, this is what we need to change. Without the drawings, we can't do that.
Yeah, we're just talking without the drawings.
Yeah.
So now
we can get more specific. Now we can say, let's get together and brainstorm and find out where we can change materials, take things out, whatever we need to do to meet your budget.
Well, one of my questions is, for example, some contracts have, at the completion of each phase, you give the architect firm a notice to proceed to go to the second phase, right? So if you finish the schematic design and you said, okay, we're okay with that, you proceed to move to design development. But from now until we have the round table again, if they complete the design development and they move into construction documents, like the further you get, like the harder it is, like if we're going to talk about or make any...
I think what you all need to do is work together as an administration and then look at what those alternates are, and then come back. If we need to meet in 2 weeks for another round table, I'm okay with that.
Jennifer brought a good point. See, we need to complete design development in order to say this is the next step, but we haven't done it yet. We're trying to get 70%. We're not.
And we shouldn't go into construction documents without an approved balanced budget. So we don't intend to do that.
Okay.
We don't want to do that.
But we need to finish design development.
So, I mean, you all are on board. Let's move together. If you all need a meeting in 2 weeks, I'm okay with that. But this is sort of like the process where everybody's here. There's nobody pinpointing fingers at anybody, and so we need to just make sure we're doing what's right to get the project moving forward and doing getting the timeline and everything. So are we all on board with that then?
Well, through the chair. Mm-hmm. Jennifer, okay, so Carl is saying... okay, fine, we're not going to go into construction documents, but we need to finish design development to actually aid in this conversation that we're having. What's your response to that?
I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think if the Venegas have the 70% and we have a ballpark number, and we already know that the ballpark number is $5 million over, I think right now we can pause and we can take a look before we keep going. I think we can pause from now to 2 weeks.
Can't we just, we're going to be working on the alternates and
we're
all
going
that.
To be working on estimating it. And in fact, like, so they're complete with the 70%, until we meet again, then, you know, VMAC is doing this analysis, yes, to make sure that we're within range, you know, before we keep moving forward, you know. Because the way this is moving, we could finish the construction documents without having arrived at that.
The other thing, if you do, while they are district-wide when it comes to the energy management, looking at the performance contract as well, and seeing if there's a possibility if we need to, because the main concern is the classrooms, the six classrooms that we talked about, Mr. Cornaro, on adding those. I think it would be kind of neat to actually have it either have it built out where we have the actual
shell
or something, and so that's stuff that we need to look at. We might go over budget, but let's do it right so that way we don't have to come back and, you know, rebuild the whole outside thing. And we could just do the shell, sort of like what Tornio did. So.
And I want to go on record, too, in totally agreeing with Sergio. I've been somebody who's been talking about LEED, and I've been someone who's been talking about Caudill. But you guys are saying that you haven't been involved. I've been in meetings where you guys have told me flat out that we're flat on budget. You've told me, yeah, we're fine on budget. And so my discussion about LEED and Caudill has been on budget. I totally agree with Sergio that if we're over budget, certainly by $5 million, then those are the first things that have to go out the window, or at least be on the chopping block.
But I also said, Dr. Murphy, the last time we met, that you said, how's the budget now? And I said, horrible. I used the word horrible because I said, the project keeps doubling. We went to Socorro and we went to go look at combo school kitchens. Mm-hmm. And so... there's perfect examples of a district that has a bunch of those combo school kitchens. I get the plans, and our combo school kitchen is twice as big. And we added classrooms, and I know that's not your fault. I know the board.
And I agree, David. The last time you did say that we were over budget, I agree.
When we checked the 18 the first time, we were right on. And I think that, as a matter of fact, I don't think we need to pause or stop. And we could probably get you a letter tomorrow, Jennifer, if we can go back to the original concept and just check it real quick and say, hey, look, you know what they have today is okay, but the big gym that they, you know, that we, that they added, the big kitchen, these are the trouble areas that added cost.
Yeah.
Then you can say, okay, well, if we're okay with the what we need, then we can go ahead and proceed with that, and then maybe pause on the rest. We can get you probably something like that pretty quick, so that way you don't have to stop 2 weeks or anything like that.
I think the board needs to know, like, hey, here's your 25-acre site, and here's, like, the football field and all these playgrounds and these site improvements and all this. And somebody needs to delineate, okay, here is the $18 million boundary so that you can, everybody can visualize what that is. Yes.
Garnett, do you think you could be able to capitalize what the $18 million boundary would be, what they could get for that, which in this, which is important for everybody's classrooms and kitchen and administration? Do you think you could be able to capitalize that?
I can tone into it. It's going to take, you know, working with Carl and looking at the stuff and getting some more details, like Carl was saying, to come up with a number. In regards to the area of dirt, what we had at the 30%, some of the grades are very vague, and needing those defined. You know,
yeah,
we're making guesses in regards to the foundations, from where footings go, where, you know, retaining wall, concrete retaining walls are located. Some of the areas that we may be making assumptions in the 30%, they're not retaining walls, it's just open. So it'll take me from where we're at, sitting down with Carl, you know, 2 to 3 weeks to pull that, separate those, because we're going to isolate different areas and getting it
toned in.
The level of detail is kind of like a two-edged sword, though, because, like, for example, when it comes to the civil details that Garnett is talking about, then that level of detail helps them estimate better and it gets a better picture. But, like, what David was saying, if we're talking about level of detail in the kitchen, and then you realize, hey, you know what, there's some redundancies here that could be more efficient, then by the time you reach that level of detail, it's harder to redesign that kitchen to maximize some of those efficiencies.
And,
you know, so it's kind of like helps where it hurts.
And I think the problem that we had is we did have designs made, and then we started adding whether it was a board, whether it was administration, whether it was some people from CBAC. We all added, the parking was one of the things, expanding that. So there was a lot of issues that, and of course this is where we're at now, where we start looking at ways where we could, whether it's value engineering or whether it's alternates, to actually start moving the project forward. But I think we know where we're going, and so we all have an understanding. And so administration, on the next time, let's know where we're at concrete, so that way we know where to go.
And also, let me just clarify one thing. The numbers that are being produced right now are being produced off of our 30% set of drawings. VMAC does not have 70% yet. We just printed these today as a progress set. We will not be at 70% until the 21st of this month, which has a lot more. He's calling us every couple of days saying, I need information. We're saying, we're drawing. Let us get a little further along. So he does not have the 70% yet. He'll have them on the 21st.
So I guess get the 70%, get together, start working at least where we could start getting some basic numbers, and then when we meet the next time, we'll be able to actually know where we're at, so we could pull out those alternates or rank them or find different ways.
And don't get me wrong, anybody here about the awards and the lead, if we can pull it off somehow, I want it. I mean, Dr. Murphy, that Chester Jordan put us on the map when it came to lead. And that was one of the greatest things that we stumbled onto with CDA and VMAC. We want it. If it comes down to 100 grand, trust me, we'll figure out between each other to make that happen. It's just, if it comes down to, you know, to having, you know, a successful project versus an unsuccessful project, I'm not gonna put myself in that situation.
I agree with everything, and I think Sergio said it best. You know, if it puts classroom space and kids at a disadvantage so that we can get an award, it isn't worth it. And I totally agree with you. But I also agree with you that if we can make it work, that's good too.
Absolutely.
It sounds like in the next 20-25 days, we have a lot of work to do. We have several meetings. you know, we started school in the last 2 weeks. I have not been, this has not been front and center in my mind over the last couple of weeks starting school, but it sounds like we now need to get back on the horse as far as an entire group and start meeting in your conference room and start having like we were earlier this summer.
And can I add this too? For the point of LEED certification, we are not charging anything. We are certifying it. We are doing everything. And we did not add anything to our fee to do that. Now, the LEED certification process will not allow us to be the commissioning agent, so we do have to hire them. But we're not paying anything extra. If we decide to go LEED, we're not paying the architects extra to do that. We'll only be paying for better air conditioning systems, better glass, and better envelopes, which is not necessarily related to LEED, but it's related to energy use over the next 50 years.
But I think that two things are being like combined, though, the Caudill and the LEED. Because one thing I would be interested to know is how many of the Caudill projects are LEED certified? I mean, you can win the Caudill without being LEED.
I'd rather it be LEED than Caudill.
Well, I mean, that, I mean, I'm
should
saying
go hand in hand. If we
yeah,
do a good
I mean,
job,
let's
we should
let's
win.
Let's work on getting both.
That's the bottom line.
And a lot of,
but let's keep Sergio's comments.
Let's scrap it, guys. Let's focus on the budget. If we can work it out, great. That's our last.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't want to talk about it now.
And I want to apologize because, you know, we gave that $22 million budget 2 months ago, and nobody said anything. So right now, $18 million is the core. Well, now we're focused. We got our marching orders. Okay. Now I'll say, okay, Doc, your wish list. You know, we got to sacrifice that. You know, where can we work together? You know, you got Johnson Controls. The controls in a normal school about this size are going to run $150,000, Garnett. Do you have that covered over here?
Yeah, we have Johnson Controls now.
are they going to pick up the controls?
They can donate.
Is that a separate deal? Or
we could,
part of this deal?
Well, that's something that we might need to look at.
That's something we need to coordinate, no doubt. I mean, we want, if we're doing this thing district-wide, of course, we want that to tie in. Now, of course, I mean, that's not...
Do we need to get a number from them is what I'm asking.
Yes, of course. Mm. We need to get a number.
You see what I'm saying? That's what David's complaining about. There's a disconnect here. We're not, you know, we're doing different agenda items, but we're not coordinating together as a group.
To be in
the
loop.
And Dr. Murphy, to be honest with you, this has nothing really to do with you, CDA, or anything. I finally said, you know what, I'm just going to call Jennifer. I mean, she just needs to, and I explained to her the process and everything. And I mean, some of her comments were like, oh, I can do that? I was like, yeah, I mean, you can call me for a price on anything at any time. So if you want to say, hey, can you get with Johnson Controls and figure out how it's going to impact the school, call me, and we'll get that figured out for you. Those are the disconnects we're talking about. Not the meetings with Carl and you all. I mean, we've got that direction. We know, you know, you got your envision, and that's fine. We understand that, and that's nothing's going to change there. The other things is like this lab thing that, you know, bounced around when I asked them. It says, hey, how's the soils report coming? Well, we haven't done it yet. Why? That's like so simple. That's 2 + 2. You know, we could have got that squared away weeks ago. Those are the things that, you know, utilize us to help you do that.
I mean, do you want to speak a little bit about the soil testing they're watching?
What about?
Do you have a recommendation that you could bring to us?
Yeah, the vendors are ranked. The vendors are ranked. They're ready to...
So you could bring us a recommendation.
They're ready for...
So put it on the next meeting then. If that's okay.
We could just bring it to the 18th and to the regular board meeting without coming through committee. Okay.
And use me. Just abuse me. Just say, Oscar, you know what? Call up your number one ranked guy. Tell him to go take some boring samples. That puts me on the spot as the orderer. They'll send me the invoice. I'll ask you to reimburse me one of these days. But, you know, that's
we need those geotechnical guys because we don't know what's down there, and that's going to impact...
Because I can move quickly. I can say, I checked today.
And the thing is we know we're all trying to cover ourselves, and we don't want to spend more money in the lab. You know, there's a process with stuff, but it all comes down to dollars. The other day I had a meeting about ready-mix concrete, and they said, well, are you sure it's that price? And I said, well, I know it's that price because, look, here's my file that we pay all the ready-mix people in town, and we always pay this price. So why would it be any different? Okay, maybe a dollar more. So they're like, okay, well, let's go ahead and use that number. So we have the data that we can give you to say, hey, look, this is right or wrong or way, that's, well, that's twice as much as we paid last time. There's something wrong. And then, you know, the interviews and all that stuff, you know, that's fine. Take it from there. But at least, you know, if you ask us the questions, we can give you the hard data you need to justify it to everybody.
All right, we'll bring a recommendation for soils testing to the 18th board meeting without interviews, just based on them and consultation with our team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fee proposal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, fee proposal, yeah. And a recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and we're going to forego the interview
and then
process
the next meeting,
and all that.
And the next meeting, we'll get it prepared to...
I agree. I didn't understand the interview process myself. I was trying to figure out what type of questions we were going to ask.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure between us two, we're going to have our own recommendations about labs. We know who we probably would say no to.
Well, we've already done the work. We've already got them ranked.
We already know the top ranked. I mean, we've worked with them a million times. Everyone here has worked with them before. I mean, it's really not a...
Yeah.
Soil testing is very basic, run-of-the-mill.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have that for you next week.
And we got the other stuff ready to roll for the next meeting.
And we're going to work towards that, yeah.
And then let's get a big powwow down at your office set up for, what day is the third, for next week, with all parties. And if we need to invite Johnson Control, we can invite Johnson Control as well.
Including Johnson Controls.
So Johnson Controls will have something to do with this project?
They're district-wide, so.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you have to keep in mind that, I mean, you can't do a closed spec, so it has to be Johnson Controls.
Yeah. Well, they could work on it.
Yeah, but I could, you know, like I said, it's going to be $150,000 somewhere
exactly.
In that dollar range, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're going to procure numbers, I can ask them, what do they think, what do they think of my ideas going forward?
Okay. Yeah.
Because they're going to be part of the energy savings thing, so...
Right, exactly. I mean, now we get the number of
Johnson
Controls, too, if
you're saying. Yeah. I mean, there's a Honeywell out there, and there's...
We've already approved the...
Some other guys that we can get prices from.
But we've already approved the district-wide with Johnson Controls.
Yeah.
Johnson Controls is vendor neutral, and they can...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm limiting it to my budget.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, their budget number should be right on then, right?
Yeah.
Enough said.
Okay.
And you know, Rachel, Wando, and Sergio, if you guys remember the past, I mean, we dealt with a lot of owner-related issues. How many meetings did we have about Sonatrol? You know, I don't even know if you still use Sonatrol, but I mean, how many meetings did we have? And at the end, we got it straight, right? I mean, that's all we're saying. It has nothing to do with you know, the architects or alternates or any of this stuff, but we got to get some of the owner-provided items, you know, we got to get those in line and get them budgeted and get the master budget squared away.
Okay. So we're good with that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we okay? So we're good. Mr. Quina?
One other thing that we're not, and good thing that David brought up, is the furniture is really not part of the construction budget. But we need to find out where we're going to get it. If we haven't saved a lot from
our interest
savings or not, or what we're going to do with that.
Okay. We need to do two things. There is a furniture budget. It's not an expansive furniture budget, but there is a furniture budget in the bond. I can't remember the number. If anyone has the brown book, it's in there. Furthermore, remember that through Martha, we've been stocking away $250,000 a year in the budget over the last 2 years, so that's $500,000. If we do that every year, we're going to have about $1 million for that as well, because we've been saving for that in like a rainy day fund.
And what are we doing with the interest on the bond fund since the beginning? Not a lot, but
it's in Lone Star because Maria, and I checked on that yesterday actually because Mondo had asked me about that. Although we have put a little out into investment pools, the large percentage of it is still in Lone Star because it's the best rate out there. And there really hasn't been a lot of opportunities for us to do anything beyond the Lone Star account that it was originally put in. Martha will be here in about half an hour. She had a family engagement. She'll be here at 7:30.
Okay.
Is the kitchen equipment part of the construction budget, or is it separate?
I just want to see what we
What's
have
our pro-
funds
budget?
Set aside right now to date for the bridge.
Okay. When Martha gets here, she can let us know that for sure.
I think we did one for you where the kitchen budget was coming from a grant or a different source.
No, it was coming from the federal.
I know. That's what he's asking, where it's coming from.
Is the kitchen equipment in this?
Oh, because our
we have fund balance for that anymore. Our but we can check.
Because our federal fund balance is different from the, yeah. Well, we need to look at all that.
But I think our fund balance in the
because right now we have, how much we have in there for kitchen equipment? And right now we only have one vendor in town. I'm going to have to go to Arizona to get you another quotation. How much? $250,000. For the kitchen equipment.
The equipment.
Yeah, like the stove and national restaurants.
That's in our price. If it was supposed to come from somewhere else, then that's just automatically money that can be shaved off the construction.
Like get you another classroom.
Or there's things like you can buy it directly, like Prison Industries or something.
No, not for our school.
Not for you guys?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, $619,000.
$619,000 is a quotation.
That sounds more like it.
Is that because of the sushi bar?
That's because of the solar panels that make you heat your tortillas.
It's all lean.
Right. Two serving.
No, you have three. You have two serving lines on the elementary side, two on the middle side, but you also have
islands
where all
the dishwashers
and everything are doubled up.
Because of the gymnasium size. That cafeteria is a gymnasium.
So there's like $1 million that we can almost pull if it's not part of this budget. But if it is part of this budget, we got to leave it in there.
Well, we need to look at the fund balance. I don't think there's any fund balance in our food service.
No, it's just general. It's $250,000 a year set aside for the pre-K-8 and then to be used as we need it. It's not specific to fund food service.
Okay.
Let's just find out. I know that we had money in fund balance, but
yeah, we need to look at it.
We were short on it
because it's two different fund balances, and we haven't used that. Adele hasn't brought anything to us to bring it
Adele?
Down.
Adele is gone.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. She hadn't brought anything to us.
Well, remember she was going to buy some furniture recently for.
There's Martha.
There she is.
Hey, did he get inducted?
He did.
Congratulations. Martha, how much have we been setting aside each year in the budget for pre-K-8 rainy day fund type of thing?
$250,000 per year.
And we have currently
$500,000? Yes.
And then in June of next year, we'll get to $750,000. So we'll probably get to $1 million before we open.
And did we set an amount aside from the bond just for the furniture, didn't we?
There is, based on the bond project vote, there is an amount there as well.
Separate and apart from the construction fund.
Yes.
How much was that? Wasn't it like $400,000?
No, I don't have that.
Do you have the brown book?
I can't even get my book.
It's $355,000.
You have 21 days. This is to the heart of the owner budget concern because aside from furniture, it's surveillance, it's intrusion, it's playgrounds, it's soils and materials testing. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, they have it in a separate account, but it's not sufficient.
No, I know.
Yeah, so,
and we knew that because when we built.
We left Sonatrol all over again. When we did the big school, we negotiated with Sonatrol where they would do the installation.
Well, we did Garcia and we did the high school. Our interest was enough that we got on the bonds that we had and paid for all the furniture. We didn't have any issue. Actually, we even had overage.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Plus, Ron, you still have data from not Garcia,
anymore.
Right? Were you here for Garcia? So,
yeah, all over.
So you can give us data like how much you paid Sonatrol, how much you paid Garcia, I mean the furniture. How much you might have, maybe the kitchen.
You just heard that part.
See,
of it's not part of the 21 million.
There's $355,000 for furniture and equipment. There's $450,000 for computers. There's $320,000 for networking and infrastructure.
Separate and apart.
And then there's $21 million for the total project, separate and apart from those costs, and separate and apart from the land costs.
And we also, the board, at the budget time, we put in like another, what was it, like a 80 or 98,000?
Yeah.
From the fund balance?
$250,000, she said.
No, but no, we set us, what amount did we set from the budget when we were going through the budget hearings? Mm-hmm. What amount did we set off that we said, yeah, we're going to dedicate that Annette wanted for?
Yeah, technology.
This technology. Year, we allotted $389,000, but it's going to be used this year in infrastructure and things like that.
So not for the pre-K
8? Not necessarily for the pre-K.
No, but I remember, I said, let's send something to the PK through 8. Like $80,000 or $90,000
for to look at the
community. Yeah. Or
at least we're moving in the right direction.
For technology.
Now, not anywhere in the Brown book have we say a word about kitchens.
I know their fees.
Okay. So the kitchens is in the $21 million.
Fair enough. Now, there's also fund balance in the food service.
How much is that?
I want to say it's close to $1 million without going back to my office and pulling out. It's because the fiscal year changed that. As we saw
picked up a few hundred thousand
under operating, we also have a healthy fund balance through food service operations.
Okay, so we might be able to tap into maybe half of that, more.
And it's allowable.
For the equipment,
kitchen equipment
might go a long ways towards getting most of it.
And if there's any construction savings, then we could look at just putting back those alternates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think administration needs to go through, give us our construction budget, the add-ons that are not going to be have to be touched with that construction budget, like the furniture set-asides we've done, the tapping into maybe part of the half of the fund balance of food service, and the technology, the other we've set aside, and you know that can stretch our construction budget quite a bit.
And then that'll tell you any day that this technology budget is way low.
Yes, so. I realized that we were going to be low.
How much was that again, Dr. Murphy?
$770 for not only the computers but also the networking. And
there might be some E-rate funding.
Well, E-rate's gone way down. Yeah. Priority 2 E-rate's pretty much gone away.
If they throw out another, depending who wins,
great.
The federal side.
I think Oscar said it best. We have our marching orders. Carl, we ran your big powwow at your office next week. Get going.
Okay. Let's do it.
We're gonna let Carl Daniel go to 70%. All right.
Well, you all are gonna work it out, get it together next month. You're gonna come back to us, show us what the alternates are, show us where we're at in price, show us what the prices are on those alternates, and then that way we could just keep on moving forward, and then look at what alternates we need to take out.
So to go to Jennifer's point, we're going to allow Carl Daniel to continue design development, but not go into construction documents. That will be the stop point.
Yeah. We don't want to go into construction documents.
So Jennifer, you got that?
Okay.
They have free reign to go through design development.
Okay.
Do we have a balanced budget? We don't want to go into all construction documents and have to redraw.
All right. Before you go to construction documents, you'll need a letter from us authorizing you to go into construction documents.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess can Ms. Cortez, if you could put on item 2B because it's related to this, and then we'll go back up there.
For the item 1B, discussion regarding CMR services for remaining DC 2011 bond projects, presenter Ms. Matthews and Mr. Shetland.
Sorry, 2D. I mean 2C.
2C?
Yeah.
For 1C, discussion regarding design and cost related to pre-K through 8 school to include mechanical systems. Presenter Ms. Matthews and Mr. Daniel.
Okay.
There are basically, we've discussed everything. All we have left is a discussion of mechanical systems. I don't know if you want to continue with that or you want to table that till next month.
Do you want to, is that probably
let's
better?
Let's show them where we're at.
And
Venegas has been involved in that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a presentation problem.
Go ahead. Jose Madal is our mechanical engineer, and he's here. We had a meeting in our office, if you recall, and we went over in detail three systems. And what Jose's agreed to do is come tonight and give us just an overview of what we're considering for the three systems. And whatever decision and road we go down on that,
is going to affect our bottom line cost, initial cost, as well as our operating cost. And we know that Johnson Controls will probably be involved in this eventually, but I'd like for Jose to give us an overview of the three systems that he looked at. We did not instruct him to look at rooftop units.
Package units,
because of the energy inefficiency and the knowledge that we were going for lead, because we couldn't achieve it at that point. So right now, we've not looked at package units, though first cost would be reduced a reasonable amount if we were to go in that direction. And we still can do that, but I'd like just to have Jose do a summary of what we had a lengthy meeting in our office about already.
Okay. We were asked to look at three systems, basically variable or simple heat pumps, geothermal heat pumps, which we have in our high school, and then a very standard chiller, boiler, you know, four pipe system with our handles.
Four pipe, VRF, and
geothermal. They're both really good systems. They're both, I mean, all three of them are highly efficient. They're three very good systems. To the truth, to operate them is the operation cost is about the same. You know, they vary about 5% each. So when it's going to cost for you to operate them, it's almost the same also. So to operate, to maintain, they're almost equal. Very, very small differences. Where they vary greatly is in first cost, at least based on our research. Geothermal is the most expensive. I don't think you guys have personal experience with that. VRF is the second most expensive, and the least expensive is the chillers, boilers, pumps, and air, the four-pipe system. Four-pipe system is almost used by every school district in town, their larger schools. UKSD has it as their standard. Socorro has also gone to a four-pipe system as their standard on the bigger schools. Socorro is experimenting with VRF right now. Our numbers say that it's more expensive, about $1 million. VMAC has done some research and say it's a little bit lower. We can definitely look at that. You know, we don't have a preference. We can design all three just the same. But it's really going to be a decision of yours. But really, if you look at the numbers, the chill water, the four pipe system is the best bet in our point. In a nutshell, that's kind of it. We can share all the numbers with you, slowly.
The four pipe is also the easiest to operate, going to David's point.
And that's arguable. I guess you need your maintenance guys. A chiller is a complex piece of equipment. You know, if you're going from evap coolers, you know, jumping to a chiller, maybe a kind of shock. But your equipment that requires a lot of maintenance is kind of centralized. You know, it's just your chillers. Pumps are easy to work on, boilers are not complicated. Chiller is, but then it's one piece of equipment. Inside of the school, you'll change filters on air handlers, belts, you know, some motors, easy stuff. You know, package units, anybody can work on a package unit also. But here we're not really looking at them because of the lead factor. Lead makes you compare your building to a fictitious building that they say this is a, you know, they tell you, compare it to this building. And that system has to be a four-pipe because of the size of the building. So comparing packaged rooftop as far as efficiency to a building that's using a four-pipe, then you'll never get there. And in a school, you at least need to be 40% better than this fake building that you can compare it to. So, you know, that's why we look at package. But the package, you know, will knock about $1.5 million right off. I mean, you guys did the other school with the package. But lead is what's right.
Yes, that's a real tough decision. I mean, the four-pipe system, from a bid process, you're going to get a lot of contractors that are going to look at it and say, okay, four-pipe, great. You're going to get 5-6 bidders. The VRFs, we're very intrigued by that because we all know that we feel, I mean, we've talked to Carl about this, it's a very simple system in reality, but there's some sensitive wiring and stuff. And it could cause contractors to look at it and say, oh, we don't know how to do this. And then that could skew it, even though it's theoretically supposed to be less expensive to install.
the piping is smaller. All you're running is refrigerant piping, which is a lot smaller than, you know, running 8-4 or 6-inch pipes for chill water. But as we have found out that our contractors in El Paso have trouble with that. You know, running the refrigerant lines have to be put in very straight, very clean, you know, almost perfect. Or else you're going to have problems.
So you know what I'm saying. And then Jennifer, from your perspective, I mean, you know your maintenance team better. What is your maintenance team capable of right now? And I know you guys are finally got the grasp and everything, I'm assuming, on the geothermal at the high school, right?
Yeah. I think the difference between going from like a 4-pipe to a VRF, at least in a 4-pipe, it's kind of like you have to be able to figure out things like mechanically. With the VRF system, I mean, then you have to have somebody that has really the technology skills, because it's more computer-based, you know?
Yeah, they're very technical. I mean, it's almost like a computer in each piece of equipment.
And the other difference, I think you said it best when we met the last time. We said the VRF systems, they look beautiful on paper, but then you have two layers of human interaction with this perfect machine. And the first one is getting a contractor that can install it up to par. You're already limited on selection, and within that selection, you know, quality. And then the second component of that is then the interaction of the end user or the operator. And so you have ample opportunity from this ideal analysis that you're reviewing on paper to how it's actually being run and operated in the field, and a lot of times as a script.
In theory, so far, I think our VMAX stance was we do like the VRF. I know it's new. I mean, Socorro, like he said, is tweaking with it. Does Johnson Controls have any opinions about that? I'd like to hear what they got to say, even about package units, because maybe the return on package units is so bad that we can't even consider it anyways.
Like I said, VRF is a new technology. We have people on staff who can evaluate that from our engineering staff, and that would be me. But we do have some engineering that we can pull, you know, data from on what we know from our experience with VRF. And you say with the package units, because of the loss of efficiency, I mean, that's going to be very hard, as you say, compared to a 4-pipe system. We work with 4-pipe systems all the time, you know, in the house, and that's something we've been working.
And the package units, what's your rate of return between the 4-pipe? I mean, is it something they spend an extra million, but they're going to get it almost immediately, like within 10 years? Are we talking about 20-year return, a 30-year?
Between a package and a 4-pipe, what would be the return?
And I guess the best way to answer that, by modeling what the specifications are, and going between the two, and then bring that back. What is the efficiencies? Is really, because we'll need to know.
We just need to add package units to the list of three, making it a list of four.
And we can model those.
Yeah. Well, we've modeled the three, and like you said, and you don't have these thing. The end cost is about the same. It's the upfront cost that's the big difference between the two.
But we need to look at both for the long term.
I told them in case of emergencies to put evap coolers on there.
One other thing, just for aesthetics, the VRF is very low profile on the building, whereas the 4-pipe are these giant 9-foot tall boxes on the walls. And again, like going to Sergio's point about, it's more about the kids don't, you know, it's more about the comfort in the classroom. But the VRF is a much more low profile system.
Well, what we need to look at, my opinion on that, is see the long term as well as the short term investment. But the critical thing is, when looking at it, is, I mean, we're going to be, we're switching everything to evaporative cooler. I mean, not evaporative. We don't want that for sure.
So. I will say that Mr. Bernard put together a very good analysis of all the systems, first cost versus, you know, that, you know, yeah, versus life cycle cost. I mean, he did a great job, and so if you want to add that other one in our next meeting, we can distribute
This is what I was going to say. Now I know where I was going. Is what we need to look at is which type of system we're going to use, so that way, whether it's a 4-pipe, whether it's VRF, whether it's in the long term, so that way we could have a consistent... I know the geothermal was something, and it was a big investment, but if we're going to use geothermal, then we need to use that. But if we're going to use a 4-pipe system, then we're going to have to start using that for all our projects. And then if it's going to be a VRF, well, then we'll do that. But that's something that you all need to analyze. And I guess you all could do that and then come back to us.
Yeah, we can make
that. So just get all...
And I do want to compliment CDA and VMAC because, and this gentleman, I apologize, but we have done a lot of work on this already, and we have collaboratively done it. We're going to go and add the packaging to it, and that'll be part of the next month's.
We're all intrigued with the VRS. I think that's kind of, is that the team consensus, right? I mean, that's kind of the intriguing one that we want.
It's intriguing, but...
we're nervous.
But the upfront cost on the VRF is a million more than the four pipe.
Okay, what's the long term?
That's an additional?
No, the long term it's about the same. Right?
Right. Oh, okay. I haven't got that.
Me and Garnett have a. I can't discuss that number.
The CMR saying it's about a $400,000 spread. The engineer saying it's about $1 million spread.
And we can look at that.
Okay.
And you know what? I think that we. By just pure the fact that you're going to get six bidders versus maybe two, we know that there's going to be the four pipe, there's going to be value there because it's just like us. When we
the market.
Get certain projects, if they have, you know, concrete parking lots or something concrete intensive, we're going to look at it because we're cheaper, we're more competitive to bid that than we would be the other product. So, you know, that same thing goes with mechanical systems.
I call it the Daikin system, but it's not
the VRF
system. What I found out putting one in was that the thermostat wiring that you're normally seeing that everybody uses isn't used with that system. It's a computerized cable. So it's really a 21st century type system, and we were introduced to it from the old electric company building. They put it in there, and they loved it. Because those sensors are telling, shut down the air conditioning on this side of the building, and give more air conditioning to this side of the building. So, technology-wise, and let's call it state-of-the-art-wise, it's really an interesting system. It's just like your geothermal. It's ahead of its time.
what is the more efficient? Forget about I know about the geothermal, but between the VRF four pipe. Which one's the more efficient?
More efficient? Keep in mind, because they're all high efficiency systems, they're very close to each other.
Right. But I mean, percentage wise, I just need to know
the VRF is actually the more efficient.
What percentage?
Very close to, I would say, within 5% of the chill water.
5%? And the port pipe?
The port pipe.
Yeah.
Well, do we know it's going to be more? Do we just need to scratch that off our wish list? Or is that something we can all talk about? Right?
Well, let's wait till the next meeting, because that's what
you all will.
Jennifer's point is there's a theory that says you don't build a system that's smarter than the people to operate. And looking at our experience with geothermal, we just have to be careful.
Or even with very experienced people, it's so labor intensive. All the money, my theory is, with the VRF, all the money that you save in energy, you're going to blow on technicians coming out to troubleshoot it. I mean, that's really nice.
Since our last meeting, I've come over to agree with Jennifer that I would hate to see us pioneer the system on this school. Let's let some other schools do it first. We all know that a four-pipe system is going to save us energy and be a great step above a packaged rooftop unit, and it's close to the VRF system, so let's let some other district pioneer for a while, and then we'll do it later, is my opinion.
I agree. 5% is
not enough to take a chance.
There is no payback. Even if it's 500,
it's going to get used up and then some with the maintenance from the white lab coat guys that are going to come take.
So why are you saying
pioneering is a great word, by the way. Pioneering. I was actually part of at the hospital. They wanted to test out this system, and we built it for a whole area to see if they could implement that in other areas. And people were really excited about it because they had never used that system anywhere. And I mean. We finished practically building it in-house. I mean, I was like, pioneering is very painful. Like, I just...
Well, we just need, what we need to look at too, what are we going to want to look at in the long term? So if we're going to start doing four pipe, we need to keep to four pipe, because we don't want to, we have a geothermal and then have four pipe and then have the VRF and then, you know, we already have evaporative coolers and but those are easy to deal with compared to the other systems. So we need to make sure that there's consistency.
I go thumbs down on the geothermal because there's too much rock.
No, I don't think any of
up there.
Not, be, not because it's a good system or whatever.
Easier,
you could have a second building
up there. There's just too can't much. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Drilling is too much of a.
We're gonna have him add the package units as a fourth option, and we'll bring it back next month or next time we meet.
Okay.
Except the lead.
Yeah.
It would be out the window.
And with what?
Well, we can't
actually only get the package. Okay, you can't. But, okay, so that also tells you that package units in the long run are going to cost you money.
Indeed, they're going to cost us a lot of money in operating costs. I think package units would be the wrong direction for y'all to take, personally.
Yeah.
So it's VRF or four pipe, and it sounds like four pipe's winning.
Well, you all have that discussion. You all are the professionals, and then bring back to. So
I just don't want those 9-foot tall boxes hanging off the edge of the building staring at everybody.
Just real quick, if anybody doesn't have any questions, I'm going to open it up to the community. That way we could just go back up there and then go back with the agenda item. Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay. So I guess with that then, I thank you all, our architect, CMR, our engineer, for coming out. And I guess we'll get it together next month. So, and there's some.
I think Carl and Venegas need to stay through about item H, because they're going to want to hear the energy management.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have them stay. And we're going to also.
I haven't reminded him either.
Tall boxes at the top.
Paint them like cows.
Yeah, we're going to have to. Then I found out
that
in EPIC and their specs, they make those, they do four pipes, but they make those boxes interior to the building. And they actually spec it that they're not allowed to be on the roof, because then you have your maintenance men always have to get on the roof, whereas if they're on the ground. But we don't have any square footage left to put those things on the ground.
There's like five or seven. Make them round and paint them like cows.
Is Oscar leaving? Is Oscar leaving? Did you tell
him? No, I told him all. They're going to stay through item H.
Okay. I'm going to move up item, all the way up through item H. Okay.
As long as you stay somewhere in before H, they're going to stay.
You know what I'm going to do is move down the bond project update. You know what, I mean, we'll just stay to item H, let's not.
Yeah. I think we can do B right now.
Okay, that will take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 1B, discussion regarding CMR services for remaining DC 2011-1 projects presented by Ms. Matthews and Mr. Gatlin.
Committee Chair, Committee Member Dr. Murphy, here to answer any questions you have.
Just on this one, we just needed to add the, we forgot to add the small projects to the CMR, right? And that will go to the full board so we could approve it.
Right. Correct. I just need to be clarified on which ones you're going to use.
The ones that are clarified under the list that Jennifer has. So it's the big envelope projects we've already approved. So it's just a small projects contract. And then she'll use it as her discretion as to whether she goes out for a competitive sale proposal or uses a construction manager.
Yeah, that's what we're at right now, is just the actual project descriptions and budgets.
So that's pretty much it. It's just a discretion part. It's right. Not, yeah.
I should be able to have it on the streets within 10 days.
Okay, and then if you could get us a timeline that way when we start interviewing within the month or whatever, and then are we okay to recommend it to the board then? Okay, then that will take us to the next item.
Item 1B, discussion of budget amendments to cover costs to Canutillo High School track, presented by Ms. Matthews.
Okay, Ms. Matthews. Do we have backup on this? Is this?
Yes, we do. As you can see, and this is actually a pay application, and this is a process that we started that's very similar to many other places. So you can see this pay application for $150,000 to Renner Sports, and this is for roughly 80% of the work that was done on the track. And so what I'm bringing to you is, like we had talked about before and how you'll see one of our later agenda items, when we award contracts, sometimes they're more than the account for the bond project line item holds in that account. And so whenever administration presents you with a decision to award a contract, we want to present at the same time, hand-in-hand, the budget amendments associated with that. So in the case of our item for the OCR Civil Rights Resolution Agreement, you'll see how we do that. In the meantime, we approve the track project.
Do you want me to move that item up so that way we could just knock the two birds with one stone?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Can you read that item? The record, Ms. Cortez, which is item I.
Item 1I, Office of Civil Rights Complaint Resolution Agreement.
Okay.
So as you can see in that package, you can see in the cover sheet the contract amount. Then you can see all the accounts that are the funding source, and you can see how.
Can you just show me from the front which one you're?
Okay. You can see this is the cover letter to award the contract for $98,000, right?
It was. Was that what was in our? Is that?
Yeah,
that's what I have down there.
Right. Part of the package. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you can see what are your funding sources. Instead of just saying bond 2011, you can see these are the specific accounts it's coming from: the AB sidewalk extension and expansion, your sidewalk and ramp upgrades, and the total from those bond projects is $78,000, right? So in order to finance this contract award, the following three budget amendments are associated with its approval. That is the remaining amount of the lighting upgrade, a few cents left over from the van drop-off, and this project does address the van drop-off and the access to that building. And lastly, some of the money from the Bacia Soffit waterproofing project, which was actually the painting project that happened at CES. And there is that money in that account. So when you total those three budget amendments, you make up the difference. And so now you as the board can see this is where the money is drawn from at the same time that you award the contract. So returning to the track projects, we awarded these projects. Now if you could turn to the seventh page. Okay, it looks like this, and this is in your bond project financial detail reports. This is a sheet, and I attach these together whenever I do the application so you can get a snapshot of where the project is at.
Basically, this project was originally budgeted at 17. After the budget amendment, it was at 52. Okay? The total amount that we spent together with the fee from the architect is $214,000. So if you subtract the 52 from the 214, you would need a budget amendment of $161,000. So now, I prefer to refrain from recommending, because this is an equivalent of robbing Peter to pay Paul, correct? And so now, as some of these smaller things are going forth, like, okay, which we're really trying to stop, but we're trying to reach a halt with our current situation, right? So maybe it's a couple thousand dollars here, there, just to make it work, all right, good. But from here forward, this was the plan. So now, with a dollar amount of this size, I come to you to ask which bond project line item you would like the $161,000 to come from. However, seeing since that's going to be such a large impact on any of these project budgets, we do have the CMS savings from the sewer project. So that's just an idea.
Can we just, I guess, leave those projects and then say, separate that and say, okay, this is our total amount that we over budgeted. So this is, you know, the amount, because then it's just gonna get more complicated for us to make those decisions when it comes to, oh, well, let's take it out of this or take it out of that. I guess once we get to a certain area, then you all make those recommendations as administration, because I wouldn't feel comfortable with making those recommendations.
Well, the problem is, for example, we have these 150 projects, right? And those 150, each one has an account, okay? So when I request a payment to a contractor, I mean, I have to pay it out of that account. So when I process the payment and finance tells me, hey, your check is going to bounce, you know?
Well, how about we do this? What you do is rank all the projects in order, and whichever the administration feels is priority, and then from there we start taking from the last.
I think that's an extremely dangerous undertaking, and I would recommend at this point, because it's unfair to any campus, and we do have those savings, and we should use them very cautiously, but I think right now we do have those savings at CMS. And that's really where I would take it from, because it doesn't adversely affect any...
So then we've already finished those projects, but we have savings. Is that correct from CMS?
Yeah, we have savings at CMS because of the sewer arrangement that we have.
Okay, so then can we create a savings account? So whatever account we finished, and then whatever account we finished, and then we go... their savings, we just put it in the savings thing. So once the project is done, we say, okay, the project's done, this is our savings, then we put it in our savings account. So then we draw from that savings account, and then you all will let us know, hey, we've already reached that savings.
And currently, we don't have any savings, in other words, the only savings we have is that wastewater fund, and we can certainly put it in a generic account, where when it's time to pull, we can go to that account, and we'll notify you, obviously, of the transfer, but then we can keep tabs on that. Just like with the 2006 bonds, where we were directed last November that any savings from any project we started, just put it into the construction account, we can certainly do that through the 2011.
Mr. Chair.
Okay.
And that this is what I was going to get to. You're our controller. You should be advising us as to where we need to...
Well, our discussion when you met Jennifer and I, and also when we discussed with Dr. Murphy, is because the bond projects, we admit that the bond projects were voted in and proposed to the community, and we want to make sure that we don't go in on our, you know, just decide, okay, there's extra money here, we're going to pull out. However, we can make recommendations, and we can bring forward, you know, as Mr. Rodriguez has just requested, we can certainly create that account. However, right now we don't have many accounts. There's, you know.
But whenever there is.
But from here in the future, moving forward, we can certainly do that.
Through the chair, so let's do that. Let's take a million savings.
Doc, let Ms. Quintana finish.
And right now, at the time, Okay, there's no savings, so where are we going to get it?
Well, because the wastewater quote, so to speak, came in from the, for CMS came in lower than what we actually budgeted for. That is the only way, place we know of that we were going to project or generate some savings. And that's why.
And it'll be enough.
It's a million?
Approximately $1 million. And so we can set up the, take that million, set up the generic count, just like Armando said.
And then just report to you.
And report to that.
Excess that needs to be, where a budget is short and we can add it on.
And then as other savings come available, we'll also scoot it over. Yeah. Go from there. That's a great idea.
Okay. Which I'm sure there's not going to be much in the long run, but
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, beyond a million.
We're going to have to look at different mechanisms. What we're going to have to do, if I might, real quick, at the end, we're going to have to figure out, okay, this is the amount. Is there a different way we could get those funding to finish the project, or are we going to have to go out to the voters and ask them for it? So, but Ms. Gonzalez, go ahead, sorry.
Is CBAC also being notified that some of these projects that, for example, there's under budget or over budget?
Absolutely.
Okay, so then we can also let, I guess eventually we'll have to let the community know that some of these projects, I think, over or under budget.
Absolutely. And we had a discussion about that at our quarterly CBAC last week.
Correct, and also when these, I mean, we intend to submit the approval of this budget amendment for the board, and whenever these, the board agenda goes out to the CBAC members, any items that have to do with them are highlighted as they're sent out to them, so they can immediately see, hey, the high school track is on there, and they can look at that backup. Right.
Okay. Did you have any questions? Anybody else have any questions? Are we okay with that?
I don't have, Mr. Rodriguez. I have a question. Remember the high school, well, not the high school, but it was district-wide, like this, for example, this Renner company. It has nothing to do with the company, but it was, they had originally quoted us something, and then, they went ahead and they did another walkthrough, whatever. And then they turned around and said, look, well, this is not what we anticipated, so it's been increased by how much? What was the original amount?
I don't have all of that with me, but yes, it was increased.
So it was increased a lot. So I don't feel comfortable with just saying, like, okay, here's $1 million, do whatever you want with it.
It still has to come to a board approval.
That's why our goal is to bring every budget amendment up, we're starting to do this, to bring this budget amendment before you. I mean, we said, hey, that's something that they need to review. I mean, and anything that touches that $1 million, of course, that budget amendment comes to you for approval.
The other thing that I want to look at, and I think there's an item here, is on our purchasing policy. I want to tighten that up where we... Did we put it on this item or no? Yeah. The part of the internal audit, the CVA regulation procedure. Actually, I don't know if we could discuss that, but what I do want to look at when it comes to looking at a threshold and saying all these projects, whether it's 100,000 and above, has to go out for a competitive sale proposal. If it's an emergency item, then you all have to come back to the district and say, this is an emergency, this is why. But we need to look at that policy because I'm just getting, how do I say this? I just think that we need to look at when we're going out for the competitive sale proposals that we actually go look and see what the market offers before we actually start going through the cooperatives. So, did you get, Ms. Gonzalez, was that it?
Yes.
Did you understand what I was talking about
yes.
as well? Okay. And so, I guess that will take us, if we don't have any questions regarding
does there need budget. To be a motion made about the 167?
We already approved it, right? You're just coming back to us and letting us know that there was...
The transfer hasn't occurred. We were wanting to, just to make sure that or the recommendation that Jennifer was making.
But we've approved it as a board, so we would have to.
Now the next step would be we would put it on the board agenda.
It wouldn't be a budget amendment.
It wouldn't be a board required amendment. It was more, you know, informational and guidance because yeah. It is.
Because it's the same. It's out of the same budget, so it's not a budget amendment. And the only thing that has to come to the board is budget amendments.
As long as you give the recommendation or the direction which you have, then we can mm-hmm. move forward.
Well, we could just say we're okay with it, unless or then a board member could put it on the item. It would just. I know where you're coming from, but it just puts us in a tougher position, and. It's not a budget amendment that's coming out of that budget, and for us to approve, I guess, the cost, we've already approved it. We went out for the proposals, got it, and so unless a board member would like to do it different, it's from the bond program budget, so it's not an official budget amendment.
But it is an increase of funds.
Which you've already approved. Already done that.
We've already approved it. So.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Mr. Cornell.
I really think we as a board need to give them an approval that we want it out of a certain other money. Because if you recall during the 2006 bond project, something happened and we didn't authorize that. So I think we need to make a recommendation to the, or this committee should make a recommendation to the board that in fact this overage is going to be taken out of wherever else it's going to be taken out.
That the issue becomes.
Because we have approved budgeted amounts for each project already.
Exactly. No, I know, but I guess my thing is, well,
they are budget amounts for each project. We've approved the budget for each of those.
I mean, we could take it to
projects,
a board.
Right?
Yeah, we could take the right.
It's already there.
If you all, and I'm okay with that. What I was not wanting to do is, I guess I could go in detail and I don't want to. So if we're okay with recommending it to the board, I don't have a problem. And so if that's what. We'll recommend it to the board, but under policy we didn't have to.
And, you know, some guidance, or you know, so that you all can see where we're coming.
So it'd be under the consent agenda.
And the recommendation is to take the million, put it in a generic savings, and this 167 would be the first thing coming out of it. Okay, thank you.
And the next agenda. Oh, the other one is. Which we're still on is Office of Civil Rights. This is a time-sensitive issue, of course, and we have to go through the cooperative, but I do want to look at that policy and strengthen it. So if you could tell administration looking at strengthening that policy.
What policy is it?
It's our purchasing when it comes to competitive sale proposals. I want to make sure that we need to look at a threshold so that way we go out for those.
Are you referring to policy CH?
I believe so. I'm not.
Okay.
So if we could bring that back, look at it, and we'll discuss it then. If you could send it in our Friday packet. Okay, so are we okay approving this? And it's pretty much a legal contract with OCR. Is that Ms. Matthews?
Correct. What it is, we've been working with the Office of Civil Rights now for some time. We've completed three playgrounds today. They photographed them, and the report is due to their attorney tomorrow. And so that was our first deadline. Our second revised deadline is the last day of November. And they extended that to complete the work that you see here for the $98,000 contract. This package was done through Region 19. What we did is we got the architect to put together the plans and the specs. Then, you know, to make sure it was equitable, I sent all of those with an invitation and a deadline to everyone listed in the Region 19. I received two responses. contacted both of them, and this is the price we got. It is very important, and as you can see in the package, there is a very specific deadline tied to this contract.
Is there I guess what I would like, I know we're in a time crunch, so I would recommend to approve it. But what I would want to see is how much we're paying Region 19 to be for this purchase.
Yeah, and in fact, you can see if you'll switch to the second page, one of the backup documents, you can see this contract is with F&B Construction, and you can see the breakdown, their unit price, and their amount, and pretty much their schedule values, their 10% contingency.
Are you on what page?
It's on the second page.
Second page. Of the... Can you show me what page?
Like this. I have a couple copies here.
It's... Was it put up today?
No, it's here. It's this one.
Oh, it's
okay, it's the second.
Oh, second to the last.
Okay,
I got it.
Yeah, you're
here.
I have it. Okay.
Second to the last.
You find it?
Where's the amount that we pay Region 19 for you to use that cooperative?
As far as I'm concerned, the contract is directly with F&B and it's for $98,000.
So can you look at the amount that we pay Region 19 to use that cooperative and send it to our fund balance? No problem. I mean, we're going to have to approve it, so it's a time crunch, but I want to look at that for us to look at that. Are we okay to recommend it then?
Yes.
We're okay to recommend it to a full board. Ms. Cortez, if you could take us to next agenda item.
Agenda item 1E, Energy Management Service Update. Ms. Matthews.
Okay.
Give a brief update on the progress today on our energy management system. First off, I'd like to just briefly give you a brief update on where we are with the emergency, what we're calling the emergency repair portion of the high school as it relates to the Till Waterloo and over the gymnasium area. That work was started on Monday. We have been progressing this week with completion schedule for the end of the week. We're redoing the piping valves and putting in the required strainers to be able to purge that system to ensure that it is operating in a clean and efficient manner. We're starting the process of the flushing of the system, and then we'll start adding the chemical treatments to clean the system and ultimately filling the system. And having that operate the way it should be. And today we've had no issues on that that I'm aware of. The second thing is what we call kind of our phase one, which is the Canisteo High School, the geothermal system. And as you recall, we did execute, the district did execute a project development agreement, and a project development agreement did contain specific scopes of work that we were to look at as part of that process. Through our engineering team, we have been, inside that campus, and we've been looking at the system. We have been looking at the different components of that and how it's operating. We have, through that process, developed what we call facility improvement measures. And those facility improvement measures are what will deliver the scope of work to bring that system back to operating in an efficient and sustainable manner. The first part of that, of course, is the installation of the DDC controls. And we have developed a scope to deliver a building automation system for that facility that will allow staff to have control of all those units. As we met with Jennifer and discussed that today, and one of the things that we understand is that there's two ways to obtain savings, and one is to make the equipment operate as efficiently as possible, and two, just to make sure that the equipment is off when it's not necessary. And so those are the ways that we're able to do that through savings. And so we have developed a control scope, have developed pricing on that. We've also looked at the geothermal loop, mechanical loop. We have addressed what the needs are there to replace the valves that are failing there, to bring that equipment back into its efficiency standards that are necessary to totally flush that system and to bring it back to a clean state as part of that process. Those two are the major HVAC components of phase one. The other part about this, our process, is through performance contracting under 44901. Obviously, we have to, under the terms of that, deliver a project that is self-funding through savings, that the savings that the district will realize will totally pay for the capital cost of the improvements, of all the capital cost of the improvements. And we have to guarantee that you realize those savings over the term of the contract. And to obtain that, those savings, what we looked at was doing a lighting retrofit within that campus. We were looking at retrofitting the existing light fixtures within the campus to change them from the current 32-watt TA fluorescent fixtures to 25-watt TA type fixtures. We're also looking at replacing the gym HID lighting with T5 fluorescents, with Vincent Stark lighting systems, and replacing the wall-mounted HID lighting with LED lighting systems. We are wanting to provide that for efficiency purposes. We have also looked at the current water systems for opportunities to save on the water side. And what we're doing there is, when that building was built, it obviously had an efficient china put into the building. But over time, what happens is that china tends to move out of the efficiency realm, and it's not operating and using water in the way it was originally designed. So what we're proposing to do as part of our savings calculations is to go in and retrofit that china to bring it back to the efficiency standards that it should be meeting. As part of our project delivery of phase one, we're proposing to provide the work over a 7-month timeline. We will provide a full-time project manager that will be assigned to this project who will be present throughout the delivery. Our project mechanism, and y'all were talking about this before, the project we bring back to the district will not have any change orders unless y'all, in some form or fashion, decide that you need to change the scope of work from what is agreed to. I mean, there will be no change orders from Johnson and Controls. As part of our project delivery, there'll be weekly progress meetings to ensure, that the staff is updated on a continual basis. We've had discussions with Jennifer on, how the planning for the implementation will happen. The documentation of how that planning will be delivered will be provided to her prior to the project commencing, and we understand what is being sought there. As I said, pursuant to the 44901 of the Texas Education Code, we have to guarantee the performance of the equipment. We also have to guarantee that the savings are there to fund the cost of the project. And if there is excess savings, which there typically is in these type of projects, the district will retain 100% of all savings realized. So any excess savings would remain the property of the district and nothing else comes to us. We will provide a third party, we will not. As part of 44901, there is required to be an independent third party review of all calculations for the project implementation. And so we discussed that with staff. Financing for this, it will be provided through a third-party lease purchase finance arrangement. We're looking at a 2.7% interest rate for that over a term of 15 years. As you look at this, the next steps obviously are to, we presented the project scopes today to the, for each facility manager and had discussions with those with staff. There is some additional information that they have requested and we will be providing to them. We are finalizing the cost and savings calculations, and we'll be bringing that back to staff next week. We met with the finance staff today to discuss security and financing required for this project. We can move that process along quite quickly. We also have agreed offered to provide some opportunities for third-party review of the contacts that we have and should the district choose to pursue that. We are ready to bring back the cost and savings calculations, the contract document that was proposed for this type of performance contract for the staff and legal counsel to begin reviewing all that is ready to be brought back. As I said, the final step of the process is for the board then to approve the contract for phase one. So that's where we are as far as phase one and the project. We're ready to bring that all back to the board and next, or not to the board, but to the staff next week, and start moving toward, you know, presenting the project, moving toward approval of the project, so that this work can be started at the high school and move forward as expeditiously as possible. The next part that I'd like to talk to you, of course, is that we also have a project development agreement for phase two that we've discussed. And we are starting the engineering for phase two. We had engineers in district the last 2 days doing some preliminary legwork at each of the campuses. We're also installing some data loggers and things like that to start collecting data. We've been reviewing, we've already had utility data, have been reviewing that utility data. And so as such, we are starting that engineering phase of design and development toward the scopes. Again, as we've discussed, the challenge is to bring back a system that will be self-funded, that the savings will provide, along with the bond proceeds, will pay for the equipment that is to be installed. And so we are in the process of developing those scopes, looking at the opportunities and bringing back the recommendations. And as we discussed with staff today, you know, that's going to be a very collaborative effort. We'll bring back proposals for recommendations to discuss in each of the juncture along the way, and give options for staff to consider. I'll throw this out there. As part of our discussion a while ago, I was texting one of the engineers regarding the VRS, and he said, I hadn't thought about that for a blazing list. The evaporative cooling, so I thought that was interesting. But that's a quick update on kind of where we are on that. As I say, the emergency repair will be completed this week. We are ready to bring back the cost and savings calculations and contract verbiage to staff for that, the process of phase one moving forward to begin work at the high school to remediate the geothermal system there and provide the efficiencies that system was designed for. And we're commencing work on phase two to develop the design and design scopes to bring back and discuss with staff. What questions do you have?
What I would like to see is some type of Gantt chart showing where we're at on the project and then where we're at, so we could actually, okay, this is phase one,
yes,
and then where it goes from the other side. I guess when we have to approve the full contract, and then how the construction phase, are we going to phase it in the summer, how, or during spring break, whatever it may be.
Yeah, and the proposal for the high school, and again, that was part of our discussion with staff, and you're asking the same thing Jennifer asked for today with a little more detail with what she's wanting, and that's great, is exactly that. But our proposal to get this project delivered is to look at working after hours with students aren't present, to maximize, to work on weekends, to especially maximize the breaks that are coming up. You know, we'd love to be able to be on the ground during the Thanksgiving breaks, during the Christmas breaks, to be able to you know, facilitate this work so that the Gantt chart that you'll see will actually be, you know, as soon as the project could be, you know, kicked off in October, then we would be construction starting in October, you know, 7 month process from there. And we'll be glad to provide that Gantt chart for you as part of our project development process.
The other question, what I would like to look at is under the loan amount, looking at that, looking at taking some of the money from or relieving some of the money for the bond program, so we could look at some of the issues that we're going to be, is there more money? I guess you're looking at putting in the $10 million, or that, whatever
that's
was
what we budget. Discussed is utilizing the $10 million. So as part of phase two, you'd like for us to look for options to bring back that would use less than the $10 million, allow you to free those dollars up
for product. Yeah, that's something that I would like to look at. I don't know if the board would like to look at that. I think
it's... that'll be a challenge, obviously, to bring back the self-funding, but we bring back options to show you how that might be financially structured.
I guess the options were self-funded, and then where we could take out how much we would, so that way it could free up money for some of the projects that were over-budgeted.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, let's look at that and do some different financial models for that. We can do some different cash flow modeling that will show you, you know, some of the different ways to be able to do that. I mean, obviously, you may be looking at doing funding a portion of that internally over the term of the contract, but it would allow you to spread those costs out, at a very favorable interest rate.
Okay.
So that may be an option. Yes.
Any other questions? Any questions? No. No. And so I guess the next step would be.
And the next steps would be to for us to bring back the cost and savings calculations and final scope for review with staff, a populated contract for that goes along with that to support that. The performance contract is very detailed, and so we'd be bringing that back along with that for the board's attorney or the district's attorney to start the review process. And we anticipate being able to bring that preliminary information back next week.
Okay, and so you'll be working with Ms. Matthews on that? Okay.
And they're working at Kennedy High School right now in the emergency.
So we'll be able to move forward on the next step. Do we know when that will be?
As I say, we'll be bringing information that she's requested back next week, and along with the financial modeling and like I say, I'd like to bring back the contract terms so we go ahead and have an attorney start looking at that.
Okay. If there's no other questions, do we need any recommendation, Ms. Matthews?
No, it's just an update.
Okay. Thank you. And that will take us to the next item.
And item 12, Mohawk Interceptor AMS update. And then Ms. Matthews.
Yes, this is just an update to let you know that we have reached an agreement with El Paso Water Utilities. We did agree to pave both sides of the driveway. They are going to look at how we can improve the drainage and any possible improvements, although that is owned by TxDOT. We do have the possibility to connect, even though we don't need to connect, but we could if we wanted to. And they do not make exceptions for connection fees, unfortunately. So if we did choose to connect, we would have to pay the standard fee that everyone else pays. They're not legally capable to make that exception. So with the exception of that, they agree to everything else. And I just wanted to let you know that most likely that would be scheduled at the earliest Christmas and possibly next summer. So.
Okay. Any questions? No? That'll take us to the next item.
Agenda item 2G, bond project update. Presenter, Ms. Matthews.
It's this one right here?
That will. Yeah, that's correct.
Architects and CMRs, thank you very much for attending. I mean, you say you want, but we've gotten to the part.
I thought she said for them to stay to item 8, that one.
Well, through item H, I apologize. Sorry.
All right, so we have been delivering one milestone a month for in our bond project updates. So the cover sheet, which is a more of a global summary of where we stand financially, is updated monthly and coordinated with the finance department. So what you see this time, and this is our monthly edition, because of course we're updating it on a regular basis, is in the sheets that follow, you can see that all the projects have an ID number, 1 through 150. That's also that you're able to track these through the presentation that you showed the voters, which we have published online. And what this will enable you to do is to track this project through the architect, through the AEP, through the invoicing, through the construction. So at the very end, you can track them from the election through the completion. And so let's just say the way it works is the ones that are in blue are all the ones that are the Johnson Control projects. The ones that are green are ones that have been completed, passed, closed out. And slowly, Maria is helping put together collect the financial detail on all of those so that we can
you know, compile it and all at one location. But of course, our priority was the active projects. All the active projects are in white. And so if you look at any, active project and you look at like the project tab number, whether it's the wetlands upgrade, number 29, and you flip through the detail sheets, you flip through and you find, okay, this is item 29, and then you can see the list of all the POs, the list of all the money we've committed, any contracts that we have, what is the total project cost, and basically it's a system so you can see any financial information on any project you'd like. And so from here forward, we'll be presenting that. Also in the back of this, we have now, well, last month the board approved the 4 AE contracts, and so they've provided timelines. So you can see the Gantt charts that were provided by one of the architects for the CMS campus, and what they're providing for each campus. Each campus now has a schedule. And so with that being said, we're doing two rounds with the architects next Thursday and Friday. We'll be doing a tour. It'll be me, the architect, and the principal and the assistant principal will be invited so we can get the discussion going. And we'll have two rounds before mid-October. Is there any questions on any of the details or any specific projects you guys want to go
I'm just glad we got the Gantt charts and now we're able to.
I was like, one of you please put a Gantt chart in there.
Something.
Sure. I have two items I'd like to share. Number one, we have scheduled the road show where we're going to do five sessions going around to the public to give an update as to where we are on the DC 2011 bond. Those are going to be in October, mid-October, right after our October 13th walkthrough with the board. We were going to do them a little earlier, but we felt like the board walkthrough would be a very key moment, and then to go to the public after the board walkthrough. And we have scheduled five dates. I don't have them in front of me, but they're all in mid-October. Secondly, the track project. We are paying the contractor up to 80%.
Looks like 81 or 82.
No, I think it's actually 79. But okay, 81%. But we are holding the remaining 19 to 20% of the cost of that project and, through a final walkthrough. We still have issues in AMS with the football field that we're not fully excited about, and we're going to come back. And we are holding the last 20% until all those items are fully completed to everyone's satisfaction, including the principal.
So let me go back to explain what about the AE progress, because this is going to start picking up pretty quickly. So one of the main concerns is that as the design or the scope of works progress, we're not hand in hand with what campus administration, the expectations aren't aligned, which is why the sequence of events is going like this. Today is the 13th, so we're meeting the 20th and the 21st, okay? And then we come back, the architects go and they keep working. Then we come back on the 4th and 5th, the architects keep working. And October 13th, we have that facilities tour with all of you. And at that point, the architect should be able to demonstrate, you know, a substantial amount of progress, and you'll have a clear picture of what the expectation is for that project. And the goal would be at that point, the campus knows, the architect knows, we know, and we're presenting to you as a group. Or we're on the same page. Now, when we get your input and you confirm or you provide us any kind of input or guidance after our walkthrough on the 13th, then after that gives us time to regroup, make any tweaks, adjustments, and then prepare for the road shows so that we can all be on the same page. And the first road show, I believe, is the 17th or the 18th or the 18th and the 19th or something like that. So that means that's bringing everyone together up to speed. So when we present at those road shows, all of us are kind of like moving as a group.
So we'll be ready for the...
Yes.
Okay, sounds great. I guess if we don't have any other questions, no? Okay, that'll take us to the next item.
Agenda item 2H, bond project management update, presented Ms. Matthews to include TASB fee proposal and bond manager job description.
Well, so TASB has presented twice to date. And after our last meeting, we received direction to go ahead and move forward and negotiate the price with them. They have provided a free proposal, and we have been working with them for the last several weeks to delineate that scope. And they've come back and provided a price. And together with that price, of course, administration has written a letter of recommendation, which we sent in the packet and that you've received tonight. So I don't know if you have any questions or if there's something you wanted to elaborate on.
Does anybody have any questions right now? No? I'm in disagreement. I was, when looking at it, $1.1 million, looking at where we're at in our budget, it's just a major concern, especially with all the other stuff. We're going to be pretty much over budget on a lot of our projects, and I have a concern. I think we're going to be off to a good start with a discussion we had earlier. And so my major concern, and I don't know if Ms. Matthews, you want to do it, or if you would like TASB to do it, but I think what we need to look at is look at the amount of money that was projected from our previous administrator and what our actual cost is or our actual budget for those. I don't know if you could do that or if you prefer TASB to look at that. I think that's the major concern, to look where we could actually gauge on where we're at. And the other discussion looking at the, let me see what the item is, the agenda item. So could you elaborate on that, Ms. Matthews? Would you be able to do that, or would you?
I would prefer TASB to do that.
Okay. So, TASB, are you able to do that, to look at what our previous budget was and then look what our projected budget is?
Yeah, that was actually in our original scope that we presented at the last board meeting. Before we start anything, we always recommend a complete budget review. And not just of the projects that we're going to be helping manage, but all of the projects that are related, 2006, 2012, or 11. We need to make sure that the expectations, we need to make sure the expectations of the board and administration are being met. We need to make sure that all of the budgets that are interrelated, dependent on one another, are presented to you all at one time. So that would be what we'd start with.
I guess my major concern is where we're at on our projected budgets, because the next thing that we've already approved and we'll be looking at is our construction manager. And like the last time we had that discussion where we were going to have our construction manager at risk, and then we've already approved the architects, and then to have another layer, which doesn't include the full bond program, but just what's included is $1.1 million into the budget that was not projected to actually do within the bond program. And so...
You mean try to absorb the $1.1 million fee? Is that what you're saying?
Well, absorb, I mean... Where we're going to absorb it.
Well, that's your question, I guess, mm-hmm. or your concern. In many cases, especially when you're looking at the complexity of all of these different types of projects district-wide, the majority of the time we find ways of either reducing cost or cost avoidance, because it's not just the cost that you're looking at right now, the budget for something that you may not start for 18 months, but it's what may happen through that occurrence. So. Like I said, we fully expect to find the majority of the fees. We can't guarantee it, but we have done this on several occasions. So.
And so I some of the discussion we had earlier, I believe you weren't able to, you had to join us late. I wish you were here. But some of the discussion we had is those cost avoidance, and I don't want to duplicate that when it comes to especially the budget that we're in, so that's just a major issue. Especially, I mean, $1.1 million. When we're not looking at the rest, it's a big dip when we probably over budgeted. So my major concern right now is to look at what our proposed budget was when we went out to the voters and what our actual budget is. That's what I would recommend to look at first before we start looking at anything above that.
As a separate service, you mean?
Correct. As a separate service or the first service or whatever it would be.
Well, that would absolutely be the first service.
You want to come up, sir? You could sit up in the front so that way. Go ahead. Well, as a separate service.
Well, it would be the first thing that we would do if we were approved. As a separate service, we would have to reevaluate how much, we just estimate how much that would cost for time. But that's what we do before we start a project anyway, before we move forward. Even with the new elementary going up to 70%, I understand that's getting you up to construction documents, but not approving construction documents. So it's good that you at least held back there, but with $40 to $50 million, depending on what the actual budgets are, the first step is to make sure that you know what your expectations are and what the site's limitations are for the projects.
And so I guess my recommendation, if you would agree, at least to look at the separate service, to look at the budget first, because what we have to do is gauge where we're at in the budget and how much are we going to dip in. We might be over budgeted another, I mean, we were talking about just the elementary school, but we might be budget wise another 3-5 million, you know, and adding another million to that, that makes it 6 million. And so what we need to look at first is, okay, what was our proposed budget and what's our actual budget looking at the current cost right now?
Yeah, but that's a task in and of itself. And so I think one of the components that was missing from the bond was a percentage due to administration fees. And so one of the things that I was talking about with Martha was, where can we find the establishment account where we can cover the costs of the salary of the bond project manager or TASB, or how can we, without affecting any of the end results of any of the bond projects?
And so some of, you know, as we met and discussed and reviewed the budget, as I mentioned earlier, because we realize that at this point, the 2011 projects haven't started, we don't have any, we're not sure if there's gonna be any additional savings. However, we do realize that the CMS wastewater does have some savings there. And then in addition, because we are allocating funds at, you know, at year end through fund balance, that would be one other additional mechanism that we could garner savings to cover the costs that would be associated with it.
But at this point in time, we need to cover costs that we currently have when it comes to not even looking at the pre-K-8. There's a lot of costs that are going to be over budgeted when we look at it. And so if we don't know the cost of the amount that we're going to be over budgeted, then how can we actually say, okay, let's go spend another $1.1 million or plus to actually get in more debt and looking at, I mean, that's probably, realistically, would you say, or would you see any other savings? Would you say that's, I mean, are we going to see another four?
One of the things that we're doing with the campus-based administration with the AE fees, the way they were arranged, is so that the AE fees, they take the amount that's budgeted for that campus and they address the projects that they have within there. And, you know, to varying degrees, of course, bringing that scope back to you guys to ratify, but address those within the awarded budget.
And what we did, what we gave to the AEs too, was every small project. So if you're looking at sidewalk, they're looking at, instead of administration looking at it, which in the past we did, they're looking at, okay, this is the amount of sidewalk that's going to be done, this is the scope of work, this is whatever it may be, a bathroom, this is the scope of work to that. So we're addressing that issue when it comes to the AEs, and then we would address that issue on the big envelope projects when it comes to CMR. And then we're looking at also getting a in-house person to help with the bond program, which we need to look at as well. So I think what we need to look at first is a budget, unless anybody else has any questions, or my recommendation would be to get that separate cost so that way we know where we stand when it comes to the budget.
We can do that, and I'll go back and speak with Casey about that. But again, this is typically part of the program management. The pre-design services that we provide, the review, not just at the budget, but the sites and the scope and everything, we feel is just as important once you actually break ground and see where the construction. So establishing that early on. The other thing to keep in mind, though, is that things will get put on hold again. So just understanding that
yeah.
Granted, you don't want to rush into it, absolutely not.
No, we don't. I mean, with the 1.1, and so I want to make sure that first we look at our budget amount. And, okay, you know what, you come back and give us, okay, you know what, your actual cost for these projects, which you projected in the bond program, is actually $4 million budget over. And so then we could actually make a better decision before going into another 1.1.
But I think, like, for example, in the case of the elementary schools, where the scope of work is significantly smaller than you have at the secondary schools, you can see that administration did not recommend hiring TASB because by the time you paid the architect and by the time you paid TASB, the budget is so minimal, you would be ineffective in achieving what you wanted at those campuses, you know? So this isn't a blanket use of their service, but just strategically using where it would be in our best interest to hire them. So you can see that it was ranked in order of first priority. So I think at this time, in the case of the 3K3A together with the Johnson Control contract, those are our two largest projects, you know. In the case of Johnson Controls, we're going to need to hire a third party in any case. I mean, we're legally required to do that. So, I mean, TASB is partnered, of course, with Sledge Engineering, so they're in a perfect position to do that. I mean, they have the staff. And, you know, the bond project manager, they're a time and coming. It has to advertise and all that. And in the meantime, the reality is that I'm an architect, and, you know, TASB has those engineering services available to serve as your owner project manager. And in the case of the new pre-K3A, you can see that there are some roles, and there's a lot of roles that the owner has to fill, you know? And so there's no telling, at this time, the bond project manager hasn't advertised. We don't know who's going to respond, who we're going to get. You know, you can count on the fact, but that's why I'm saying that those are our two first priority. And that's $775,000. I think it's money very well spent. It's also going to give continuity to your bond. A lot of things fluctuate with staffing, but you're getting a company that's going to be here for the years and for the long haul from beginning to end of your bond projects. You're using it in very professional.
I mean, administration's first recommendation was to do the full bond program. If it wasn't for the board's decision to actually do, you know, the bigger envelope, or just to look at the pre-K8 and the Johnson Control, we would be looking at the whole bond program. You discussed that we already have the architects on board with all the small projects, which they should provide that and provide that scope. And then we're going to be looking at going out for our CMR and for the big envelopes as well as small projects, which is the same thing that the way that model does. It's looking at those individual stuff that you said, the cost avoidance and stuff like that. Then we're going to actually put a project manager on top of that to oversee the full bond program, not the full bond program, because we've minimized that, and that's going to cost $1.1 million. And then when you're looking at, if we want to look at it, we should ask TASB at our staffing, you know, when it comes to the office, because you're going to have a facilities director, and then you're going to have somebody managing the bond program within that, and which I'm okay with that, because then that's the owner actually managing those bond programs, whoever would help you with the bond program. And then we just already hired the other, or we're about to looking at we might hire the other individual in a short time to help you within that. The other thing is looking at the program. I mean, if we look at it, we don't have a big time where we could do some big projects. So looking at, we need to look at getting ready for the summer. And so what we need to do as a district is to look at the pre-K-8. And I think we have some lax time to actually look at that compared to where we were at in the summer. And so I think what we need to look at before we hire and pay 1.1 is to actually look at the amount of money we're going to be over budgeted.
I would say, but you can, going back to the round table that we just had, you know, and we had the CMR at the table and listening to what David Venegas said, of course, a lot of things he said were specifically mentioned the role of the owner in the project, you know, and so we do have that gap to fill, and it's really critical, particularly in the 3K3 and Johnson contract. So I think that the 1.1 or $1.2 million aside, of course, we identify that number as our second priority, but I think the 775,000 number to pay for them for those two large projects, and those two large projects only, I'm sure with the help of Martha or even they said that they would be able to find that money in savings, I'm very sure that that's not possible.
I would have to disagree. So.
Yeah, I mean,
does anybody have any questions? No?
It's a lot of money.
So my recommendation, if you're okay with that, Ms. Quintana, is that we actually go back, look at the actual budget numbers that we gave to the bond program, and then that we actually look at the actual cost current to date, so we could look at where we're at. Whether you would like to do that or you would like to have TASB do that, I don't have a problem with that, and that's where I think what we need to look at first.
I'd like to make another comment. You know, if you look at $775,000 as a standalone number, and when I like look at it compared to, you know, balance in my checkbook or something, yeah, it's a huge number. Yeah, no doubt. Is it a lot of money? For sure. But keep in mind that what we're looking at here is $39 million worth of work, okay? And they are helping you to safeguard that money, to make sure that it's well spent, that you're getting a good deal, that you're getting your money's worth, and defending your interests. But and so in our, it's in total only less than 2% of the entire project budget.
Well, what we're looking at is, you know, whether we get rooftops or we get a four-pipe system, which is better for our kids. I mean, the model, and I've gone to, you know, these conferences where they teach you the way the model is, whether it's the architect, the CMR, if you go out for a hard bid, and the way it works. And, you know, we have the optimal model. I don't think we were using it to its optimal potential, we heard. So I think what we need to look at is using it towards its optimal potential and looking at where we're at in the budget, and if we start seeing bumps, and you know, I strongly believe that you know you've been bringing in a good insight, and that you've been able to be able to backtrack and help out with some of these projects. But right now we have no summer projects. We have some time where we could address some of these issues and work as a district to make sure that we do it correctly. And so, at the same time, we could look at where our budget money is. But this is. You know, this is, honestly, I'd rather, if we have to delay it and work on it, I'd rather make sure that we put that investment into our kids so that they have a better system in place.
Let me ask you something else.
I can't hear. Please speak up. I can't hear.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm talking into microphones, sir.
You're backing off, and then you come in, and then you back off.
That's not my problem, sir.
Yes, it's your problem.
No, it's not. So, go ahead.
How about if we do this? What if TASB was to put together a proposal where they did project budgeting, like you say, and they just did third-party plan review?
I mean, I'm willing to look at that, but what I want to look at is the project budget.
Yeah, sure.
To see what the what we're at, where we're at, and then we could look at that. I mean, that's another proposal that could come to us, but I don't mind giving direction to administration to look at where we're at in those budgets to help you with that.
Okay.
And then the other thing I would request that you put on, whether it's my agenda or the personnel, to look at hiring your second individual if that's what you would like. Okay. Is that okay, Ms. Quintana? Okay, that's what we'll recommend to the full board.
So on the 18th, we will bring back a proposal from TASB for a budget audit, budget review of where we're at regarding the DC 2011 bond.
Correct.
And then an alternate, you said you'd be okay with it.
Well, just a proposal.
Yeah, an alternate proposal.
Not just, it would be a proposal on that alternate.
Yeah,
the other one
you would proposal alternate for a third-party plan review. So you're not recommending moving forward in any other way with TASB?
No. Can we just get the proposal? What my recommendation is that we get the audit on the budget, and then they could submit a proposal and we could discuss that at a later date.
So you don't want the plan review, third-party plan?
The third-party review would be a proposal submitted to us. It could be submitted in our Friday packet or whatever, but that way we could look at just the,
but on the 18th, just
our projected budget. Yeah.
All right.
And they would submit that proposal then, right, to look at that cost.
Mike, can you get that ready? Let us know a separate cost for the audit, budget audit, and cost review.
Yes.
A proposal of cost before Friday. How long would it take you to put together a cost to do a budget audit and budget review?
It's going to take a couple of days to put it together. We've got scheduled stuff tomorrow, but I'll call Case. I've got a conference call with him this evening. So
it wouldn't be in the Friday packet, but it would be
fine.
Available on Tuesday night?
That's fine.
Is that okay? All right. Thank you. So, Mike, we would need that on Tuesday.
So the second item is the bond project manager job description, and I believe I provided one from the San Francisco Unified School District. It's very, very similar to what we would be looking for here at CISD. I don't know if you have any questions.
No questions, unless you all have any.
Yeah. So what we would be doing is we would just be modifying it, of course, to read CISD, and aside from that, this would be very similar to what we would publish.
Well, it would just be for the, right now we're just looking at the project budgets. We would just be looking at the project budgets, not the bond program.
Through the chair,
mm-hmm.
At the last special board meeting, you approved the hiring of the bond project manager. And so we're bringing you the job description.
Yeah. So at this point, we're not approving the bond project manager.
No, you already did approve it. The special board meeting.
So on the last meeting we approved the bond project manager.
Yes,
but we're not recommending to move forward at that point. So do we need to move forward with the job description?
You would recommend that, yeah, you've approved the position and now you're recommending the job description.
Oh, okay. So I thought this was the bond program. This is what you're recommending.
This is item two. This is H2.
This is going to be your individual that's going to be helping.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do we know? I guess then we would get an updated version from our HR on everything, and the pay scale, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Just how we have our job descriptions.
Yeah,
so. Okay. That's fine. Are we okay with that, Ms. Quintana?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And can we bring both of those items on Tuesday, not in tomorrow's packet?
That would be fine with me. Is that fine with you? I don't know if Ms. Searles might want that before, but.
It'll be very similar to what you've had now for a couple weeks.
Okay.
It's just going to be switched to, say, CIS. Maybe I'll see if we can get it ready by tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll try.
If not, I mean, I'm fine with
okay.
that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that would take us to the next item.
Agenda item 2J, discussion regarding waiver of fees for home beach requirement performance in January 2013. Presenter Dr. Murphy.
And
thank you everyone for attending.
Dr. Murphy, on this, it's they're wanting to use this, right? I don't have a problem with that.
Yes, sir, and we appreciate your consideration of that. Historically, the high schools that host this, and it is an honor to be chosen to host it, do waive the fees. We did check, so we would be in line with the other districts in waiving the fees.
Are you okay with that, Ms. Quinton? Then we'll recommend it to a full board. Ms. Cortez, can you take us to the next agenda item?
Agenda item 2K, review of district financials for August 1st through the 31st, 2012. Presenter Ms. Aguirre.
Does anybody have any questions regarding? No? Nobody? No? We'll recommend it to a full board that we approve the financial district financials for August 1st through the 31st. Can you take us to the next agenda?
Agenda item 2L, review of warrant list for August 1st through the 31st, 2012. Presenter Ms. Aguirre.
Okay, any questions? No? Nobody? Okay, we'll agree that we recommend it to a full board.
I will share this. I spoke with Ms. Earls earlier today, and they will have a Friday packet with some responses for the questions she
had. Okay. And that will take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2M, purchase of high capacity rotary file cabinets, school resources, presenter Ms. Rhythm.
Are you okay with the approval? Does anybody have any questions regarding it? No?
Ms. Brigham, are these for the transcripts?
Yes. For the student records.
Yeah.
And why we brought it forward is because it's not for the bond. It's not for the vault because we have 18,000, I think, in bond. But this is for the records like you have. And one of these files will take four of the four drawer, and we need it desperately.
Are they similar to the ones in special ed? Sort of?
They're similar. They're exactly what fits in HR.
Oh, okay. I know which ones they are.
Uh-huh. You have that rotary, so they're large. It's not going to topple over.
Okay. So we're in agreement to recommend?
Is that to replace what's already there? Or is that to add on?
No. What we're going to do is, this is phase one. And what are we doing?
Good luck.
These records
are going to remove all those records.
You're going to refile them?
Have fun.
You
guys did it? Both of you? Did you do it too?
Yes. Yeah, I spent a lot of time in the work.
We have some expertise on the board about that.
Yeah,
yes,
I do.
Yes. So are we okay to recommend it?
Of course. Yes, sir. They need it. They know that for a fact.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
We're in agreement to recommend it to a full board. If you could please take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2N, internal audit. Presenter Mr. Rodriguez to include item 1, compliance calendar. Item 2, hotline update. Item 3, CBA regulation, procedure for selection of professional services, architects and engineers, construction managers, address, and contractors.
Okay, and we'll start off with the first one. Does anybody have questions on the compliance calendar? No? Anybody? What's the major pressing issue on the compliance calendar?
I don't think there's any that are due at this point. The ones in bold green are the ones that I worked on for the month. I don't know if you like the description on that or if you're okay with the description that's on the calendar.
Okay. I guess.
Would you like to move on to the next
item? Yeah, we'll move to the next item.
So the next item is the compliance hotline update. Just wondering if you had any questions related to that.
What page are you?
This one here.
Okay.
Not that could. Any questions?
So the phone line is working now?
Yes, the phone line is working. And I did check it.
Thank you.
I double checked on that.
It's good to confirm this.
Okay.
Hold on.
You want to wait?
Mr. Coleman, Jeffrey has a question.
Go ahead, Mr. Coleman.
The unfair employment practice complaint came in on the 27th of August?
Yes.
Was that a particular campus or?
That one, and there's actually two more that came after that on September 6th and then September 13th. These are all related to transportation. I have referred past cases to the transportation department, and it seems like some of the issues are recurring. And so I asked permission from Ms. Searles to start a limited scope investigation in the transportation operations area. This audit that I'm performing is also on our audit plan. And so it was already scheduled audit, so I just started it early. The issues here are related to the bus route bidding process, and then also the way that, or the process related to granting extra hours to bus drivers and monitors. And so I'm reviewing that process right now.
Through the chair, just to let the board know, they had a large meeting about that issue today at transportation, and they did rebid the routes. And I think we went a long way in helping that situation. Jennifer and Juan were very proactive today in taking on that. I'm very interested to see how today's meeting will affect Hector's investigation. I think it will affect it very much to the positive.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
That's it, Mr. Cornell? Okay, that will take us to the next item.
Agenda item 3, community input.
No, wait, that was CBA?
Did anybody have questions?
On the CBA? Oh, sorry, yeah. I'm sorry, on the next item of his, I forgot we read all of them into the record.
Yes.
Anybody have any questions? I think what we're doing here is, this is the one we were talking, Mr. Coronado and myself were around when this regulation was proposed to us on the last one, that we're just going to make it consistent on the professional services. Is that correct?
So during the last committee meeting, we received direction from the board to develop a regulation that would specify that the board needed to select the contractor prior to administration negotiating fees. And basically, you know, that step is already within CBA regulation. And at that point, the administration determined that this regulation could be updated. And you'll see that the blue text is the updates that were made by financial services, and then the red texts are the updates that were made by facilities. And a lot of the content within the regulation pretty much stayed the same. You know, we changed some terms to be more consistent with other policies. RFQ, request for qualification, CB, competitive bid, CSP, competitive seal proposal, and CMR, construction manager at risk. There wasn't, again, like I say, too much of the content that changed. But if you have any questions related to some of the areas of, be more than happy to answer those.
Okay, just on the, why was there, instead of, we went from 1,500 to 10,000, and is that the solicitation? Well,
that was actually 1,500,000 originally.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Actually, if I might add, that's kind of new, because if it's less than 50,000, we don't have to go out for bid anyway, so you might want to look at that.
The other...
If it's less than 50?
If it's less than 50, we don't have to go out for bid anyway, so it doesn't matter. So we might want to change that to whatever you find yourself.
The right here considers top three firms as recommended by the administration. What are we scratching out? And what? Oh, 1, 2, 3. Or what are we on the section 31 selection? When it goes to the board of trustees, consider all information presented by the administration review committee. Consider top.
The two is crossed out and replaced with one. So it's 1 to 3, that's what's being proposed here.
Can we have that where it's sort of, it can be 1, 2, 3, or because if, let's say like with the architects, we had several projects. So if we would have just said three firms, you know, I think there's something where we need some leeway there. Depending on, how about just the rankings of those that are qualified, or the, how could we address that? What would you recommend, Mr. Gatlin, since?
Well, you're correct on that. We had 21 bidders on the architects, and I think the first round we brought it down to 13. Actually, I think it was for top 12, and then we had a tie, so we brought 13 to you, and then you asked us to reduce it down to the bottom 8.
How can we give you something where it's not?
I mean, you could just get rid of the numbers there.
Right. Just consider top firms as recommended by administration.
Okay.
Just leave the number out of there.
Yeah. And you would rank those qualifications and proposals on will be taken to the board. So, okay. Sounds good. I mean, you're going to make sure that they're qualified. If they're not qualified, then you're kicking them out. But we don't want like all 21.
Right.
I guess all top firms. How about that? Yeah. Okay. And that's an administrative reg, so it won't need to go for the board for approval, will it?
Corrected. Approved by cabinet.
Okay. Yes, sir. Mr. Cornell?
Page 32 of the CDA. On spreading of work and projects. The last sentence, major projects shall not be consolidated so that only a few firms receive the work unless there are significant savings. I don't know that I'm comfortable with shall not. Because we did that with both the architect and the CMR for the two big projects of the elementary because we received savings.
Yeah, so what would you recommend, Mr. Cornell?
I don't know that shall not, but preferably not. But
yeah, preferably.
I don't know that it, I mean, when you say you never shall do this. You know?
Okay. I'm okay.
And then what is significant savings?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to whom?
You know, I think we just need to
take that out a lot.
I mean, this is a regulation anyways. The board as a whole, the district has tried to spread out the work anyways. It's only in that situation when we came up that we were going to do two very similar elementary schools that we decided, I have two different people do it. And that makes sense. But when you have a regulation saying, you're not going to do this. Would we want two different people doing it if we have two schools that are the same being built?
Yeah, especially if they're the same.
Or,
you know, we're building two gyms, same, yeah. Two schools. I don't know.
Do we take it out?
You just take that last sentence off?
Right. That's my suggestion. I mean, we tried to do that anyway and spread the work out.
Yeah.
Maybe it just, you know, it just maybe put the goal on there. It shall be the goal of the district to try and spread the work as much as possible, basically.
Take it out.
We corner ourselves, and we're doing a lot of similar projects.
Then let's...
Like, for example, and I'll name you another one. We did the building additions at Damian, at CMS, and why wouldn't we want three different... You see what I mean?
Yeah. Then let's just take it out.
Yeah.
I would say just take it out.
Yeah.
Take it out.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else? So we're okay with the regulation? Yeah. Okay. Then that'll take us.
I would like to look at one, section one, where we're the limit there is reduced to 10,000.
Which one's the page?
Beyond page.
Just 50. Are you recommending 50?
Page 29 of the board. Section one, step one.
Yeah.
Board authorization. Commence solicitation will not be required for projects less than 10,000. What's 1 made 500,000 routes? Is that 10 million or
10,000?
10,000. And that's pretty mute. I mean, we don't even have to bring it to you for, we won't even have to go out for bid for anything that low. So you want to just take that. In other words, this, I have to come to you to ask you to go out for bid before I actually go out for bid. So it's kind of
mute. But it has to be board approved, right, if it's 10?
Right. But I don't have to go out for bid on it because it's 50,000.
Right.
Okay. I don't have
to set it at 50.
50?
Just change it to
50.
Yeah. 50. I think, Mr. Corona, I think you said you wanted that in there because of what had happened in the past. No, you can't just talk. I don't mind, but I think it was.
I remember.
No. Well, this is just telling me that if I'm going to go out there, we're.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure if it was there. It's there because
what? I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. What was it on? Was it the approval?
I can't recall what it was, but. Do you recall what it was from?
Is it when we reduced the limit from 25 to 10? Did that include that?
No. No.
Well, like, it doesn't make sense because if it's less than 50, we don't even have to go out for bids.
No, if they recall, maybe they can put it back in.
Yeah, if we can relook at it.
So 50?
We okay with that?
Yes, sir. What's the amount again? Is it going to be
And on the CB, we have the RFQ, CB, RSP, CMR. We have everything included on there?
As far as I can tell, that's good.
I think so too, all the procurement methods that we use.
Okay.
Well, actually, there's a construction agent. That's a choice.
CMA?
We never use it, but it's actually one of the methods we could probably add.
How about put and other methods? Because watch some other type of, then that would be design build, right?
Right.
And
and there might be new methods developed later.
I think we're okay with it. If you want to add other methods, that's fine.
What do you all think?
That would cover something.
Yeah, and all other methods. Okay. There's no other questions, comments? That would take us to the next item.
Agenda item 3, community input.
Okay. Anybody would like to give any input from the community? Mr. Garcia?
Community member Gilbert Garcia. First, Mr. Rodriguez, the way that you spoke to Mr. Cardenas was way out of line. It is your business. Speak up so everybody can hear you. I'm younger than he is. He may have a hearing problem. I was in the back, I couldn't hear you. You're going in and back and forth.
Well, I mean, we could have subject to interpretation because he yelled at me too, and that was out of line.
Yeah, it was the second time that he told you. But you're
there was
there
no need to yell at me either. There's a professional conduct that could be done.
Be courteous to him.
I will be courteous to him.
That's just the statement. Mr. Murphy, you spoke about the walkthrough. What are you planning on doing for the community members that don't have kids that won't know about these walkthroughs? The only reason I bring it to your attention is because Cimarron Subdivision, we had one of our annual meetings. We had a lot of new community members that don't have kids. Their first reaction was our taxes are sky high because of Canovino. Their first thing that came out of their mouth was, why did you all put this field in there? Something that I've been telling you about since last year. A lot of people know about it, and there's plenty of people out there that don't know about it.
The field?
The football field.
You mean as part of the new school?
Right. No, the blue football field. For the turf. The high school, the turf. Right.
Okay.
So that was, I don't know who told them, I don't know how they knew, but that was their first question to me. Was, why did you all put that turf? Why did you put a new turf? And they knew that the school had just been built not too long ago. So what are we planning on doing to make sure that these people that don't have kids in the school are going to be made aware and can come to these walkthroughs or the meeting that you're going to have?
Well, on October 13th, there's a board walkthrough of the facilities, and the architects are preparing for that walkthrough. And they're going to get much further along on their design and development. So the discussion, and I know that CBAC, we had discussed about having the road show in September. After discussing it, the notion was that we need to wait for the board walkthrough when the architects will have much more robust information. Then right after, literally the next week, we're going to start 5 sessions, and we will absolutely publicize those road show sessions. And we will put together, we're in the process of putting together already a PowerPoint that will go through the entire DC 2011 bond update. Blue turf, blue and orange turf will be in there all the way through where we are as to date. And we will make extra effort to make sure that we communicate. Now, as far as, and you're right, a lot of that will be through the schools, flyers home with kids. Families that do not have kids, we will be posting it on our website. We will be having it on our Facebook page. If you have other suggestions, be happy to take them. If you feel that in our newer neighborhoods, particularly Cimarron, that we need to do something special there, we're open to doing that.
So I'll send you an email from our association that has
tie right into that.
That way you can email it to them and they can disseminate, because there's a lot of people that don't have kids there. I mean, their first question was, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Sure. And we've already set the 5 dates. I think the first, and they're all, it's like the 18th and 19th, and then the 24th, 25th, and 26th. It's boom, boom, boom. But before, they're all done before Halloween.
Okay.
And we'll have those sessions.
Next thing, I was going to bring it up here, but they did bring up transportation in the Cimarron subdivision. The transportation, they're making all the kids from the original part of Cimarron, which is the lower part of Cimarron, walk across Northern Pass to get picked up on the upper side of Cimarron. I saw that today.
On Mr. Garcia, on what item? They might have misspoken, and so it would have to be on an item that's related to...
He did speak to the transportation, what was it, end?
The transportation end?
Yeah, he said that there was an audit being done in the transportation.
Okay, and what's your question?
So I'm making you aware, it wasn't a question.
It would be, depending on if it was directed to... the type of question or the...
Well, it said that it was an internal audit being done in transportation along with the bidding that occurred today with Mr. Medina.
That's completely not on this agenda item, and so we would have to follow
right,
the law.
They did speak about it.
They spoke about an internal audit within transportation. Not,
so that means...
There's no specifications...
So you can't
just go off and include something to include it as that. You have to follow the agenda item on that. And so that's by law.
So he spoke about transportation and it's not on there.
Yeah, that's a
so
transportation
okay.
audit, not where people are dropped off and where people aren't dropped off. That would have to be with Dr. Murphy if you would like to discuss that at a different time.
We'd be happy to talk about
I'll discuss it with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll talk about it. Okay.
No problem.
It was a matched hours worked to leave earned for employees in the transportation department. So it's way off topic, Mr. Garcia.
Go ahead.
Anybody else? I apologize.
That's all right, no problem.
They also have these things here, and it usually happens. It says, please speak into the microphone, but I apologize for that.
This is what I was asking. The CBAC, could we have a copy of the bond manager job description? I'd like to see it before it goes out.
Absolutely.
And a copy of the PASB proposal they give you tonight.
Absolutely. We can send both those in an email tomorrow to the entire
body. I'll pick it up.
All right. Jennifer, CBAC wants a copy of the San Francisco job description. They also want a copy of the TAFI proposal, which was presented to the board tonight.
I could give them the copies. We have several up here. So.
Okay. Appreciate it. That's all we need. Get a chance to look at it.
The TAFI proposal.
Leo, are you asking it for yourself, or do you want us to get it to the entire committee?
No, just to me.
Just to you. Okay, we can do that tonight.
I'll call my subcommittee.
All right, great.
And then we'll get Jim.
Good. Never mind, Jim. The job description, Leo, is for San Francisco, but it's going to be almost identical. We're just changing it to the CIS.
Once you get it finalized.
On Tuesday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it? And that would take, anybody else? No? And that would take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 4, adjournment of meeting.
¿Qué pasó, Monica? What's up? What's up? Okay, let's put this.
Gilbert, let me take this. Can you look up? No. No, you didn't want that.
Unless you don't want them, I'll take it.
Huh?
Unless you don't want them, I'll take it.
I was like,
can you read the time for me, please?
It is 9:14.
14. Thank you.
Okay, I'm good to get it.
Huh?